we do this, but who leads? Yeah, who leads?
I'll go ahead and call Collier and Neal. Commissioner Penny Taylor?
Here.
Commissioner Tim Nance? Commissioner Georgia Hiller? Commissioner Tom Henney? Commissioner Donna Fiala?
Present.
Councilwoman Linda Penniman?
Here.
Councilman Reg Buxton?
Here.
Councilman Joe Beatty? And Mayor Sammy Hamilton.
You do not have a quorum then?
Okay.
For Lee County, Commissioner Frank Mann?
Here.
Commissioner Brian Hammond?
Here.
Commissioner Larry Piker?
Here.
Commissioner Cecil Pendergrass?
Here.
Commissioner John Manning? Councilman Johnny Street Jr.?
Here.
Mayor Randy Henderson? Councilman Mike Flanders?
Here.
Councilwoman Gail Anthony?
Here.
Mayor Marnie Sawicki Retzer? Councilman John Crayoso? Councilwoman Marilyn Stow?
Here.
Councilman Rick Williams?
He's here.
I saw him. Councilwoman Jessica Costin? Councilman Jim Birch? Councilwoman Tracy Gore?
Here.
Councilwoman Anita Cercida? Mayor Kevin Juan? Vice Mayor Mick Denham? Mayor Peter Simmons?
Here.
Vice Mayor Peter O'Flynn?
Here.
Councilman Fred Forbes?
Here.
Mayor Nick Bathos?
Here.
Councilman Jim Bosch? We have a quorum.
Do you have a quorum?
We do have a quorum.
Okay. All right, good. All right.
May I ask, what happens when the Collier side of it doesn't have a quorum?
That will be our attorney that can speak to this. If Collier doesn't have a quorum and if it maintains through the meeting, what does that intend well to offer?
If Collier doesn't have a quorum, Collier can't take action on the action item today. However, I would suggest to the joint body here that you consider taking the presentations first, and Collier County side can see whether we have that we're going to have a quorum in the near future, whether we have a commissioner or a council person on the way. And I spoke with Lee County's attorney, and we're in consensus regarding the action of the separate bodies.
How many members are we short from Collier at the moment? One?
What?
One?
No, we're hopeful. We are hopeful. All right, so we stand for Pledge of Allegiance.
I don't believe we have a flag in the room, so I'll hold up my... That's why you get the iPhone 6. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all.
And so now we're going to go to the election of the chairperson, and then the vice chair.
I would nominate Commissioner Penny Taylor to chair the meeting.
Second.
All right. Any other nominations?
Move nominations cease.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Thank you very much. I'd like to nominate Commissioner Hammond as my vice chair.
Great idea. Man with a flag. Move nomination seat.
Any other nominations for vice chair? Okay, nominations closed. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Thank you very much.
It was rigged.
That's why we're sat here.
You've been waiting all day.
What nicely done.
Mr. Chair, Jim Birch for John Kerry. I have to do a roll call just to let me know.
All right, thank you very much. Just to sort of the rules of the road here, public comments will be taken after each item. Each speaker will have 3 minutes to speak. We're going to be very strict about that because we have a, you know, a, it's not a huge agenda, but it's an agenda we need to get through. We need to hear from the FDOT and speakers. However, at this point, I'm assuming the approval of agenda has to have, that's going to be a roll call. So my sense is I think we can go right away to our presentations and then at some point make a decision if we go forward in the action. So reports and presentations may require more. So I guess we're going to go to number 8. Is that correct? Would you agree, County Attorney? We're going to number 8?
Yes.
Okay. So I guess Mr. Hathaway will be up. It says may require action, so I'm being very cautious here. So FDOT will...
Good morning. Good morning. I'm not sure what we have in terms of reports, but I will let you know, for those of you who don't know, this will be my last MPO meeting with either of the MPOs. Starting the 28th of November, I'll be the Director of Transportation for the City of Orlando. So that, unlike today when I had to leave at 5 a.m. to get here, it's a 6-minute drive to our parking garage, although I'll be biking a good bit of time. But it's been a pleasure working with you all during the last 5 years. I expect, based on the quality of the team that we've built in the district, that you'll continue to see excellent service from our staff here in the district. I just want to thank all of you for your support and cooperation during the past 5 years.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Nothing additional, but if there are any questions, we would be happy to address.
Madam Chairlady?
Yes.
I would just like to thank Secretary Hathaway for all he's done for all of us over these years, and we'll greatly miss him, and I wish him the very best of luck in his new career. Thank you.
Amen.
Secretary,
yes, I was going to say, are we still able to reach out to you, Billy, when we need the answer that, you know, we're looking for?
That's a big fat no.
Is that a no?
No, you're welcome to call.
you answered my question. I appreciate it. Your number's going to change?
I have the same phone number.
Yeah. I wish you well, and on a serious note, you were invaluable to the City of Bonita Springs a few years back.
Yes, sir.
Previous to that, but from a personal experience 2 years back, so thank you, and I wish you all the best.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Secretary Hathaway, you came, I became aware of your presence and how you interacted with Collier MPO at a very tumultuous time in our history. And your leadership, your wisdom, your insight, and your willing to work and shift things around, and your flexibility, which when you think of FDOT, do you ever think of someone who's flexible? No, you think of rules and regulations. You defy that definition. And it was to our benefit and to our great advantage that you worked with us like you did. And I really want to put it on the record. Thank you. You're going to be sorely, sorely missed.
We have a great team in the district, and like I said, I'm sure that the team will continue to serve you well. One other thing I will mention is that the Complete Streets Initiative that I've been leading and the safety initiatives, both of those that I've been leading, will continue on. I've built a really good team. We will have our Complete Streets Handbook finished around the first of the year for external review. We're still on schedule to finish that up in April of next year. And we've already, we'll be including revised criteria in this handbook, including lower design speeds and narrower travel lanes, all the things that need to be done to accommodate that. And one of the other goals that we have from a local government standpoint that will probably be of interest, I've been working with the League of Cities, and the goal is to have a one-day workshop in association with the League's annual conference next August. Where the agency will roll out the direction that the agency is going in from a complete street standpoint. And the idea is to have a partial day for elected officials, but to have a full day for staff. So you should see something coming out, I would expect, shortly after the first of the year on that as well.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yes.
Thank you, Penny. Thank you for your comments yesterday to the planning council. I really appreciate it. To Billy, Secretary Hathaway, thank you so much for, I wouldn't get to say anything, but my panel knows that I would be lying if I said that. The Complete Streets concept is a DOT concept, and you've taken it personally to another level. So concepts are great, except it takes people to commandeer those concepts and make them reality. Billy has done such a tremendous job in doing such with the Complete Streets concept, which includes bike, ped, and those, I see Ann back there and others in the audience, that understand bike, ped, and how that struggled with just simple recognition. Secretary Hathaway, I think, personally, has elevated that attention level to a totally different light. For an FDOT guy, we're talking about a transportation guy that, like you said, deals with rules and regulations and concrete pavement, and yet we have bike-ped in the Complete Streets profile of every road, and every philosophy includes that concept in there when it thinks about the street, the size, and et cetera. So thank you, Secretary Hathaway, for being champion of that and for trotting it out. And that's six minutes, by the way, is probably only a block in Orlando. You'll be back. You'll love it down here.
And as long as we're giving some kudos, he also takes a personal interest in some of the things that happen. It isn't doesn't only have to be global. And we had some issues down in the area that I live in the East Naples area, and the lighting didn't come with the roads, and we have a washboard road, and things like that. And he actually took the time, he and some staff members, to come down and take a ride with us to see what actually was going on. And although we weren't going to have street lights in this area that desperately needed lights, with a lot of people and a lot of home of very low income housing, where you really need the lights because people are walking and riding bikes, he actually took an interest in that enough to the point where he put it on the burner to move it forward. And how many people would do that? I really appreciate that. So that's from a personal point.
Any other comments? Well, you will be missed, sir.
Thank you.
But good luck and have a wonderful, relaxing drive to work with the change.
Or bike ride.
Or my okay, so I've advised that we might be able to proceed with 7, and we're not going to do this forever, but at least let's try 7A, and there may not be board action required. So let's start.
I want to add two things, too. On the agenda, we didn't have public comment on other items. We need to take that at some point. And then for the Lee County MPO only, at the end of this, we have one walk-on item. Our Tiger Grant, line of credit expires this month, and we want to extend it through the end of June. And we have a resolution to take action on. Rory? Rory's going to give an overview of the regional traffic incident management team that's in this area.
Thank you, sir. This is a beautiful venue. Thank you for including us and including me to come down and present today. My name is Rory Howe, H-O-W-E. I work with Parsons, which are consultants. We support metric engineering here in District 1 with a traffic incident management team. And you're probably thinking, so why is somebody talking to me about traffic incident management? Well, let me, brief story. I retired law enforcement, 37 years. I spent about 14 years on motorcycles, did reconstruction. Went back in as interim chief after about 2 years, and it was absolutely no fun at all. But as part of my enforcement work, I'm coming into work one morning, and I'm seeing traffic backed up where I've never seen it backed up before. And I call radio, and I said, what do we got? And they said, well, the county's got what we call a 41, which is a crash, with a 48, which is a fatality. So I said, the county's got a 41-48 on Georgia 400, and they've got all three southbounds closed. Whoa. Still seeing traffic. And I said, what else we got? He said, well, the county's got a what we call a low sick, which means it's an injury crash at Abernathy Road and Roswell Road down in the jurisdiction just south of us in Sandy Springs. And they've got those two southbound lanes closed. So Bottom line is there were five lanes, travel lanes, to get all of the traffic out of North Fulton County, which included a half a dozen other adjoining counties, trying to get folks to get into Atlanta where they go to work. Our city was literally shut down for 3 hours. Northway is saying that we were closed. And I was hoping we could come up with some changeable message boards or overhead boards saying, sorry, Roswell's closed, go home. Couldn't do it. But I get to thinking, I said, okay, we've got issues where our commuters aren't getting to where they need to go. Our citizens, and my phone's ringing off the hook with my chief just hollering at me, what are you doing about getting my roads open? Well, doing everything we can, Chief. So we started to think about it. There's got to be some way of getting our travel lanes open faster to get our citizens moving. We worry about what we call secondary crashes, which are crashes that result from the initial incident in the traffic that's backed up, that's approaching that scene. We know nationally that 20% of our crashes on the interstate are secondary crashes. And half of those end up in fatalities. Now we start talking about money associated with crashes, either serious crashes or fatalities, personal injury crashes, insurance, and so forth. Everything escalates. When we first started dealing with the Time Task Force in Metro Atlanta, which evolved into traffic incident management teams all the way across the country, that we dealt with FedEx, UPS, DHL, J.B. Hunt, all of the people, commercial carriers, that have policies and contracts with people saying, well, okay, guaranteed delivery by 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If they've got commercial vehicles stuck in traffic because of a crash, they don't make their 2 o'clock delivery, they don't make their money. We also start talking about costs associated with lane closures. Georgia Tech did a study for us 7 years ago. And for one lane closure in Metro Atlanta, in what we call a connector, which is downtown, a cost associated with that was $344,000. That's 1 hour closure. And we know statistically, again, nationally, for every 1 minute of lane closure, we've got 4 to 7 minutes of recovery. In other words, to get our traffic back where it was. So when we start talking about commerce, it impacts everyone. So again, as part of what we developed in Metro Atlanta, became a national program of first responder incident management, traffic incident management, which is what we deal with here. It also developed into a program developed by Congress gave the Federal Highway Administration a bucket of money and said, all right, let's put a program together for responders, meaning law enforcement, fire, hazmat, towing, heavy-duty towing, everyone that responds to incidents on our interstates. Let's put a program together so we're all operating off the same sheet of music when it deals with major commercial crashes or major incidents on our interstates. That's how this whole thing evolved. The SHARP 2, Strategic Highway Research Program, second generation. Some of you may be familiar with the SHARP 2 program nationally. It's a little bit of a segment of SHARP 2 is traffic incident management. A lot of federal money associated with it. So when we start dealing with this all the way across the country, it's federal highways' goal is to get 1 million first responders trained in this traffic incident management. You've got the same issues, you got the same problems. We just did a debrief on an incident that occurred on 75, I can't remember what exit it was. 75 southbound's closed for almost 24 hours. This impacts everyone. The majority of the people, I'm assuming, coming through your community, half of them don't know where they are. I'm getting you into that. And half the people that live here don't know where they are. They say, well, I've lived here for 3 years and this is the way I've always gone to work. So, in part, what we deal with, we're trying to put together a program where we can do safe, quick, clearance of our roadways and save lives. When we know that half of our secondary crashes end up in fatalities across the country, the same thing will happen here. The costs associated with these crashes, interstate, state routes, county roads, it impacts everyone in money associated with it. A lot of the planners around the country are beginning to sit down with these TIM teams, these traffic incident management teams, and say, okay, this is what our proposals are. This is what we plan to do on our roadways, our greenways, our side, whatever it's going to take. What can we do to all work together? And that's the whole point. So in District 1, here we can call your lead, Charlotte, Sarasota, Manatee, and Polk, all have traffic incident management teams. They consist of all first responders, law enforcement, fire, hazmat, towing, environmental protection, engineers, maintenance people, DOT, local, everybody is involved with this. So what we're trying to do is to pull more membership and more participation into these regional traffic incident management teams. That's why I'm here today, to explain to you a little bit about what your responders are doing in your community to help the community, to help save first responder lives, and make it all work. And that's what we did with on our TIM teams. We're talking about 50 to 60% of our congestion is caused by incidents. And we're talking about non-recurring. We know anytime we're on the interstate, anytime county road, we know where there's always from 7 o'clock to 7:15, I'm going to avoid this section of roadway because it's closed, traffic, it's horrendous, I can't get where I'm going. We've all been there. We all know where the choke points are when traffic's trying to enter the interstate. We know this. But it's these knucklehead drivers that get out here that cause these crashes. And when we do, 50%, 60% is caused by these incidents. That's the problem here. And again, I said before, 20% of crashes. Incident responders, 3 years ago, we lost 14 law enforcement, 12 firefighters, and 52 towers. All struck by and killed while working crashes. Way too many. From a cop standpoint, way, way, way too many. But that's what we deal with. We understand that. The commission, Chicago Fire Department, first thing he tells his graduating students, he said, gentlemen, ladies, welcome to the finest fire department in the world. But when you go to work, you be prepared to be killed. And the families go, what? We understand the risks that we take when we work on these roadways. But we're losing too many first responders. Incidents cause congestioners $80 billion annually, nationally. Sarasota total cost $198 million because of traffic. Are there things that we can do to improve this? Yes, absolutely. Engineering, big part of it. You're fortunate, a lot of areas around the country are fortunate because they've got the space to develop. Metro Atlanta? No. There's no land left. But anyway. Okay, any incident, any non-recurring event that causes capacity reduction or increased demand. We know that. Incident management, it's a cooperative effort with all responders to get together to work off the same sheet of music to clear all these crashes. To clear these incidents. So I said, we've had 75 southbound closed for 24 hours. With bridge repairs, road repairs. But it could have lasted longer. Could have lasted longer. And again, traffic incident management team or a 10-team group of disciplines, law enforcement, fire, everybody, meeting regularly to identify issues and develop some kind of plan. This is what your teams are doing in your area. They meet at Fort Myers at the TMC every other month. We've been down to Naples. We tried Naples. There's been a little bit of a pushback from the Naples people. Don't know why, but that's... A lot of what we try to do is brand new to a lot of folks. Safe, quick clearance is not an old adage. We talked about it years ago. We used to sit in the tailboards of a fire truck, finish up drinking coffee and eating sandwiches that somebody always brought to firefighters. DOT would come up to us and say, when can I get my intersection back? When I get through. Can't do that anymore. That's what your TIM teams are trying to do, trying to work together. Again, the approach to create long-term plans for sustained benefits, one of the things we're trying to do, facilitation style to maximize participation, we're trying to get people. We've reached out to the Sheriff's Association in all the jurisdictions. We've reached out to the Fire Chiefs Association. We're beginning to see numbers come in, but we need to get more cooperation from everybody on board. Tell them what kind of a value does it have? Not just to the participants, but to responders, to the public, elected officials. We're trying to give answers. what we're trying to do, incident detection verification. We talk about trying to shorten this timeline on trying to identify things. Prompt, effective response. But again, if you get a major crash and there's a long delay, it's going to take our responders longer to get there, which a lot of people can't understand. You end up in a fatality. Everything changes. It now becomes a crime scene. And people don't understand that it's a homicide investigation. That's why your roadway's closed for as long as it is. There are laws now that have come out that have changed all the way across the country that if you have a deceased in a vehicle and the only thing that's holding up the removal of this, either the victim or the vehicle, is waiting on the coroner or the ME to get on scene, there are laws now in place that allow law enforcement to authorize the removal of that vehicle in order to open up the travel lanes, and it's for public safety. So that's changed. That's some of the benefits that have come about because of safe, quick clearance. Again, we need to communicate, cooperate, and we need to coordinate with everybody. Everybody. Again, same, I've gone through this before, law enforcement, everybody, the ME's office. This is a new philosophy to an awful lot of people. I say we do the quarterly and bi-monthly meetings. We try to hold meetings. We've changed it now to 90 minutes because that is the national goal, to clear up a major incident within 90 minutes. National goal. And what we try to do is in these meetings, we hold it to 90 minutes so people have got a pretty good idea what 90 minutes means. In Metro Atlanta right now, our average clearance times, our roadway clearance times now are 38 minutes. Before we started this program, we were 263 minutes. So it's a big, big reduction. And you're seeing more of it in these districts and these counties here. You're beginning to see more cooperation. And what we try to encourage, it's a whole lot better to be swapping business cards in a setting like this than it is at 3 o'clock in the morning in the pouring down rain when you're trying to work a double fatality. So it's trying to get everybody to work together. We do a lot of, well, I used to jokingly make the comment when I'd start doing the training, I said we used to do a lot of cross-training between fire and the towing community.
We're awake.
Okay, you're good. You're good. Okay. But that's a big part of it, is including, now your risk program here in Florida, show of hands please, tell me, how many people are familiar with the risk program? You are, okay. Rapid incident scene clearance. Rapid incident scene clearance. It deals exclusively with commercial vehicle crashes and recoveries. It's a program. It's a funded program. If you're a heavy duty tower is able to meet all the criteria, that he receives an incentive for clearing that wreck as quickly as he did. Your risk program, the towing recovery incentive program, the TRIP program in Metro Atlanta, the SHEP program in South Carolina, programs like this are coming up all around the country. It's to get people out of the roadway quicker and safer. It's saving public safety, it's saving civilian lives. How many remember the commercial, the crash on I-16 where the five student nurses were killed? Remember that?
It was a secondary crash. There was no warning for approaching traffic, telling traffic what they had ahead of them. 2 weeks later, on 995, just below I-16, there were two other fatalities. No advance warning in place. Part of what your TEAM teams are doing are developing these plans and these policies. This SHARC 2 training is trying to get everybody to operate off the same sheet of music. It addresses issues like advanced warning, where to park. There's a number of things that are included in that. But there's a lot of the training involved with it. Some of the things that we do, long-range work plans, we do tabletop exercises. We'd love to have you come to a tabletop. What we do, we'll set up, simulate a crash scene. People come in, okay, what can we do to make this work better? And it works. Works beautifully. Shared problems, we don't point fingers. We don't say, oh, you messed up, you should have done it. No, we can't do that because we're all working together. We have one goal. Develop response plans, procedures, response criteria, define roles and responsibility, and then we'll also do agency or the facility tours as part of it. Some of the things that we've been able to accomplish in District 1, agency notification, resource guide is out, vehicle fluid and fuel spill policy, promotion of emergency stopping sites for I-75, input on the median crossover master plan, initiated and coordinated efforts to provide dedicated troopers to the alley, formalized FHP procedure for expedited tow call. That's your risk program. Your troopers or your TMCs start that process. If they see a commercial crash on camera, they can start the process. Rapid incident scene clearance. Try to get it up. And again, develop a 10-team website. Some of the other things we've been able to do is responder checklist, freeway incidents, severity levels. Again, that's on a national level. We've got minor, intermediate, major, anything over 2 hours is a major incident. Scene parking guidelines, so the SHARC 2 training. Where do you park your emergency vehicles? We don't come in and take, if you've got a two-lane, three-lane roadway, you don't take all travel lanes. You can't do that. Got to keep moving, got to keep traffic moving. We talk about minding the queue. Everybody's been to Disney and we've stood in lines. I don't. But we all stood in lines at Disney. That's the queue. And when we have traffic backed up and backed up and backed, I was coming north on 75 coming into Ocala. Just after spring break. I top a bridge and I see nothing but taillights. People going in the median and in the shoulder. I just see a sea of brake lights ahead of me. Traffic's creeping. 3 miles into this creek, there's a sign on the side of the road that says, incident ahead, use extreme caution. What? Why didn't they tell me back there? I could have gotten off. I tried 511, I tried FHP sites, I tried local news, no information. And I finally said, I'm done. First exit I got to, GPS it and got off, did something else. The queue was 13 miles long. No excuse for that at all. No. Spring break, and it was on a Sunday. So things like this, we have to work things out. Again, with everyone being involved in the party. Again, what we're asking, the 511 system. If you're not familiar with 511, if you haven't used it, try it. It's a good system. All the way across the country. All because people are developing these systems all around. The TMC in Fort Myers gives you a little bit of a heads up on it. Maintaining continuous improvement. That's what we're trying to put together. Putting the plans into action. This is one of the reasons we need the buy-in from the MPOs. We need the buy-in from the Sheriff's Association, the Colonel at State Police or State Patrol, the Fire Chiefs Association. We need to get the buy-in where they understand. A lot of these chiefs have been and had all this training, but this information doesn't trickle down to the boots on the street, which is an area that we have issues with. We call it chief filter because she filters all the stuff coming to us. So, putting plans into action, sustaining momentum. We deal with changing people. We've got folks that retire. Nothing personal, Secretary. Folks that retire, folks that get transferred out. People just get burned out on it. So there are a number of ways we're trying to maintain it. And increasing pressure to improve, again, we're getting that from constituents. That's me. If there's any way that I can help you, give you any more information on it, we work on training. All the training is free. We're just asking for your help and your support in maintaining these traffic incident management teams. If your person are out there, we encourage members of the MPO, come in, see what we're doing. It's not a bad time. Get a lot of good information. And I have to come down, and every time I'm in town, I present something from the national perspective, what's going on around the rest of the country. A lot of good training for a lot of good folks. But again, we need the buy-in from the folks up here. Anyone have any questions? Yes, ma'am.
You've been around long enough that you must have some data. And where does Florida fall in terms of our responses to, is extra work needed here?
From a response standpoint, yes. You're pretty much in line with everybody else.
We are.
Yes. Personally, I would like to see the risk program expanded statewide, because there's some districts that don't have this rapid incident, the heavy-duty commercial recovery truck. They don't have the policy. I'd like to see that improve. I would like to see some of the standards that go with the risk program, I would like to see them tightened up. There's too much flexibility within the system. Our system in Metro Atlanta is boom. This is what you need to do. The SHEP program in South Carolina, boom, this is what you need to do. State of Washington, boom. Florida, well, if you want to do this, see what I'm saying?
I got you.
It needs to be tightened up a little bit. That's from my personal standpoint. I've seen it because I see stuff all around the country.
That's important information. What about Collier and Lee?
Same way. Everybody in District 1 is pretty much the same way.
Okay.
From a national perspective, you're right there. We are very proud of our program in Metro Atlanta because the Towing Recovery Association of America has shown our program as the number one in the country. We also have the distinction of being the truck rollover capital of the world, which we're not really proud of. But that's what we have to deal with.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Thank you for your presentation. Let me be the devil's advocate for 1 minute.
I knew it.
On the lowest level of expertise, and that's simply the driver that drives up the incident, regardless of what it is, sees the police parked in, blocking the entire way. So their perception, real or not, could be that the police or the firefighters or whatever might be out there, and it could be both, it probably is, are causing more of a hazard than the accident itself. And what you said less than a minute ago, which was I wish everybody involved in the first responder section of that would know how to do it right away. And that's really what it boils down to.
That's correct.
So the question is, what is it you're doing in this program to not educate the public, because that's not where you're going to win. You're going to win with the educating the first responders on how to get to an accident, how to assess it, and how to first allay their safety responsibilities, make sure that they're safe and secure. And very cool, I'm going to call it 1B, I'm not even going to call it number 2, ensure that the people back behind are not backing up 100 feet a second, thereby causing more frustration, which also causes more anger.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Tremendous, tremendous problems for the safety of all the people up in the front and all the way along the way. Because you'll see accidents. The longer that line gets, the more often you're likely to see.
Those are your secondary crashes,
right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, the SHARP 2 program is out there. As I said, Federal Highway trying to get 1 million responders trained by the 1st of July next year. The training is a standardized training. The NFPA, National Fire Protection Group, are advisors. They tell the fire service, this is what we suggest you do. On crashes, They tell the fire service, you take a lane plus one. That is for the safety of your personnel. Make sense?
Except if you have a lane plus one, you probably have no problem. So keep that in mind as you go on.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm with you 100% on it. But again, from a responder safety standpoint, that we're really concerned about the welfare and the benefit of our responders.
No, wrong.
Okay.
We are first concerned about getting that accident resolved.
Correct, yes. Yeah.
Second.
But the safety of our responders, if
is right there with it.
Okay.
We have to be mindful that the intent of all of the first responders that got there was to resolve that incident.
That's correct.
Okay, and to be alive, stay alive. They are parallel purposes, and they're dual purposes as they come out.
And they don't want to be in a roadway any longer than they have to be.
Absolutely not.
But the part of the Sharp 2 training, there is a section in there that addresses advanced warning to notify way upstream from your incident. The feds say you should be a mile ahead of this incident. Well, if you get an incident, you got a queue that's 2 miles long, that 1 mile ain't going to do you any good. So you have to stay ahead of that. That's all part of this training. It's also part of getting the buy-in. If policy changes, if the administration within that public safety arena changes their policies and say, you will do this, it's going to be done.
That's right.
So that's part of the issue. That's what I'm saying. We get the chiefs and the head of the agencies receive the training, but a lot of times it doesn't filter down. So that's part of the issue that we have to deal with. But we're seeing changes. We're seeing improvement. We talk about the move-over law. Everybody here know that there's a move-over law in Florida?
Yep. But a lot of people don't. You're right.
Boom.
You were absolutely correct.
And that's different in every state. Do you know what it is in Georgia?
No, tell me.
But you get...
But what do you do from Florida? You move over.
Exactly. Or slow down.
That's right.
So, and this
by
is all
same,
part...
By the same token, the Georgia driver, let's just say this law is different. He doesn't do what the Florida driver does while in the state of Florida. Yeah.
But we're seeing an improvement with that, too.
That's good.
We're seeing an improvement with that, too. But I also found out the trash trucks now are considered a move-over situation.
They're
good. Did it answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Your answer was this, was that we are considering all of those things that me, John Q. Public, on the street, is sitting there rolling up to that accident saying, what the hell do I need 15 trucks here for?
Yeah.
And you're answering that question. I need, but the answer is, out of those 15, five can go back 1 mile, 2 miles, 3 miles, and reroute that traffic.
Correct.
So you don't have the first five left being killed.
It there's a lot moving parts in it.
Tons.
Radio, the dispatcher doesn't necessarily get the right information. So fire sends everything out there, and when they get out there, the scene is stabilized, and know what they've got, they start putting trucks back in service.
I agree.
Mr. Howe, I want to thank you so much. I'm sorry we've got a huge...
Oh, no, I understand.
I don't want to stop off. I'm sure you're going to be here when the meeting ends, and folks, we can ask questions, but if there's any other questions right now,
hold
if there
on.
Isn't, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
We have had... we're pretty sure we're not going to get a quorum in... for Collier County. We do apologize for that. However, so right now I think we're going to go through to number six, which is approval of the agenda. I'm sorry, five. No, excuse me. And so I think we have an addition from Lee County FPO. And would you again repeat what you'd like to add to the agenda?
Yeah, we want to extend our line of credit for our Tiger grant. It's not quite completed at this point. We're lowering it from $1 million to $400,000 and extend it through June. It will be a Lee County MPO agenda item only.
Okay, thank you. And then we will take public comment for items not on the agenda at the end of our meeting. The speakers will have 3 minutes whenever they speak. There are speaker agenda item slips out here that you need to fill out. We'll be very strict about that time. Also, I would like to hear from our MPO attorney what this portends for Collier County, as we do not have a quorum, and so that our brethren in Lee County understand too what we can and cannot do.
And again, I'm Scott Teach, Deputy County Attorney for Collier County, and I've also conferred with Lee County's attorney as well, and we'll be brief. that you can proceed on the action items, but Lee County will have to make the motions, second the motions, and they will only be allowed to vote on any of the action items because Collier doesn't have a quorum. This is a public meeting. It was publicly advertised, so Collier County can participate in the discussion of these matters, but to the extent that Collier doesn't have a quorum today, resolutions, if approved by Lee County, can be signed by them, and then can be subsequently considered at a separate Collier County meeting. And to the extent that Collier County would agree to sign those resolutions, it would have the same effect as if they were here today, because you'd both be signing off on the same topic. But for today, Collier County cannot take action.
I do apologize to Lee County, the City of Fort Myers, and the City of Chair, Spring.
Does that mean that what I heard was that Collier County can participate, can vote?
That's
because
right.
They have a quorum. But what I heard was that they reserve the right to say yes or no to each individual issue that we discuss
at our meeting,
own,
at a
at
subsequent
local meeting.
At our subsequent meeting.
What are we doing here discussing these items?
Well, I think we've got a number of speakers, and I think we can decide this as we go forward. But I do think it's very important that we hear the speakers. And again, this is a black eye in Collier County, and I do apologize for this. I apologize for this, but this is the way it is, and I think we need to go forward. Let me not be the only one to chair, but it doesn't mean that I can't hear any comments. All those who are agreeing to go forward.
Excuse me, before you call a question like that, can we hear from Don Scott as to how this might affect us going forward?
Well, obviously, what we're trying to do, and I'll describe it in the items, is that what came up was Lee County got money for Burnstore Road as part of a TRIP, Transportation Regional Incentive Program funds. And as part of that, FDOT had revised their agreement last year that said that a resolution that approved the list and the map needed to be attached to that agreement. They can't move forward with that Burnstore Road agreement, but it actually is more important that we take action at the Charlotte meeting to address that one specifically. But any other the TRIP projects coming up are going to need approval of resolutions to go along with the agreement for FDOT to fund those projects. So we're trying to clean up stuff from the past based on newer rules now.
Well, I think my question was, if we decide, we discuss it and listen to it and vote on it, and then Collier County decides to vote another way without having discussion.
We've done that before. We've had not.
So actually, you have no objection to this?
You know, we've done it separately at our own meetings also.
Okay.
Okay. Everyone satisfied?
I have a question.
Yes. Well,
for the Lee County side, I know a few of us have meetings to be at 11 o'clock. I'm not sure how long it's going to take for the other presentations before the items that Lee County needs to vote on. So I wasn't sure whether it's going to come up as far as items we had to vote on. Well,
yes. Yeah. Let's rearrange the schedule to accommodate an accident at 11
o'clock. I just want to see people in Lee County leaving
no.
And losing the formal
can't
on site.
No. So. Okay. So let's give an order. I guess we will. And you. So we would hear the add-on item first. Is that what you're thinking?
That'd be appropriate.
Okay. So we'll just change the order of the agenda and the add-on item as delivered by, with the Tiger Grants, as just described by Executive Director Scott, will be at the beginning, followed in order as it appears on our agenda.
Motion to approve the agenda.
You hear a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The ayes have it. And we are abstaining. We cannot make a motion. Now, this is a body here. We didn't expect to have a quorum. It is a minor thing, but it's an important thing. I am the chair. We don't have a quorum. Are you happy with this? Is this something technically, county attorney, we have to worry about? I could certainly turn this over to Commissioner Hammond, which I think I would feel more comfortable because you have a quorum here, and I will be your vice mayor.
Okay. Would we have a motion to name me as chair and reorganize with Commissioner Taylor as vice chair?
Without objection, just do it.
All right. Motion accepted without objection. Thank you, Commissioner Taylor. Taylor. All right. Mr. Scott, will you please introduce the walk-on item that Lee County needs to take action on?
Yes. We have, last year in October, we got a line of credit because the Tiger Grant, as part of the process, we do the construction and then get paid back from Federal Highway. As part of that process, to kind of fill in that gap, we've got a line of credit to be able to address those issues. We're nearing the end. We're at 85% complete at this point. The money's being reduced to reflect that. We have what's remaining in the job, the 15%, but we're also looking at the signage that we have extra money that came in, so we want to be able to extend that a little bit. This job overall should be done probably around March timeframe. The extension's through June, so we're asking to continue extend our current line of credit at a reduced amount of $400,000 at the current...
Move approval.
Good. Second.
All right. Thank you very much for the motion and second. Before we vote on the motion and second, I'd like to ask, does anyone in the audience wish to speak in public comment on the item that we're about to take action on for Lee County? Okay, seeing none, I'll close public comment. I'll accept a motion for approval from Councilman Streets.
No.
A second.
This is the add-on.
Commissioner Mann. This is the walk-on item for Lee County to extend their Tiger Grants line of credit.
And call your county MPO. You can ask questions. You can comment. You just cannot. But please participate if you have any questions.
Do we have any further discussion on the item in front of us? Okay, seeing no further discussion, are there any objections to approval?
Can I ask one question? What are the repercussions of the vote we're taking right now? I'm still trying to figure out where we are on this agenda.
I believe, and we can have our attorney verify this is a Lee County item only. Lee County does have a quorum at a duly advertised meeting, so I believe this would be a binding action for us to extend our line of credit on the Tiger Grant.
So this pertains to Lee County only, not the municipalities or anything involving, it doesn't trickle down?
That's correct.
Okay. I'm good.
Any further questions? All right, seeing no further questions, are there any objections to the motion? Seeing no objection, the motion is carried unanimously. All right, let's move on to our agenda item number 6A. Because we have done 5 and we've done our walk-on. Item 6A, Mr. Scott, will you please introduce the item?
So what, as discussed, the what's resolutions done with each of the areas, whatever project gets some funding, let's just take Bergstore as the example. Bergstore received funding. Lee County is entering an agreement with FDOT for those funds. As part of that process, they're looking back, the agreement essentially looking back toward, do you have your regional roadway network approved with the resolution? And they're also approving the trip priorities that were already adopted last year, just in case something else comes up for future projects. Obviously, from the trip projects, the list that we have for priorities, we'll update in the spring again. This is really trying to take care of some of the past business we did that didn't have a resolution that went with that. The map itself has only been updated a little bit in the sense of like the Fowler Metro connection was shown as a future roadway. That's done now, so that's shown as a future roadway. There was a little bit of cleanup, but not much change from the original map. So essentially from this map, if there's future funds for transportation or regional incentive program money out there that local jurisdictions want to put a grant application in for that, anything that's on those roadways would be eligible for that if it meets the other criteria also.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Scott. Before we take board discussion, I'd like to ask, we have no public comment cards that have been turned in for item 6A. Do we have anyone who wishes to speak in public comment on 6A? We have 6B. So 6A?
6A.
We don't have a... Patty, we read that as 6D. So that is 6A? Okay, where are we asking folks to stand for public comment, Executive Director?
I think they should probably come up here.
Okay, great. You'll have 3 minutes. Who's keeping time for the public comment?
I'll keep time.
Okay.
I trust you.
All right, we'll call Patty Whitehead for public comment on item number 6A.
Okay. Good morning, MPO Board. My name is Patty Whitehead. I'm a representative from the Responsible Road Management Coalition. I was also appointed to the Citizens Advisory Committee of the Lee County Metropolitan Planning Organization, but I'm here to speak specifically regarding this map and the interchange that's shown of I-75 and Everglades Boulevard. What greatly concerns me is that in your packet of information, you did not receive the findings of the Panther Review Team with regard to that interchange and the accretion development in that area of Collier County. So, accordingly, I want to read from the document the Panther Review Team prepared in 2008 regarding that interchange, because it's vital that you have this information prior to making any kind of decisions. The road corridors that lead to a new interchange would face some significant design challenges with respect to accommodating panther movements. Panthers currently occupy primary zone habitat north of I-75 between the Florida Panther National Wildlife Refuge westward into the North Belle Meade, including the northern Golden Gate Estates. The functionality and continuity of this panther habitat would be compromised by either of the two proposed interchange locations. Improved access to hundreds of undeveloped residential lots of Golden Gate will lead to more residences within areas occupied by panthers, and over time, the portion of North Golden Gate Estates within the primary zone may be lost as panther habitat. If panthers no longer can use Golden Gates, the only remaining link to the primary zone habitat within Northern Belle Meade would be from the south out of Pinckney and Strand State Forest, requiring panthers to cross I-75. No dedicated wildlife crossings or protected fence can exist along this segment of the interstate, but some panthers have learned to use an existing bridge to safely cross beneath the highway. finally, the conceptual eastern interchange access road would be built primarily through the lands designated as HSAs, that stands for Habitat Stewardship Area, FWAs, that stands for Fish and Wildlife Areas, and WRAs, Water Retention Areas, within the Collier RLSA, and would result in a cake of panther habitat. Now, with the panthers so severely impacted by growth in Southwest Florida, how can we, with conscience, really just stick a knife in the heart of their habitat here with this interchange? That's the question I pose to you. Also, there is another speaker, Betty Osceola, representing the Miccosukee Tribe, would also like to speak on this item.
Thank you very much, Ms. Whitehead. And we'd like to call the next speaker for item 6A. And may we just ask that after you're finished speaking, would you please give us one of these filled-out cards for the record? Thank you. And you'll have 3 minutes.
This issue caught me off guard. My name is Betty Osceola. I am here on behalf of myself and also representing the Miccosukee Tribe of Indians of Florida. This discussion I'm hearing in this item is the first time that I've been hearing of it, and I consult for my tribe officially on environmental issues and other projects, and I do a lot of their document reading and help drafting their public comments or government-to-government consultation comments. And to date, I have not seen anything on this project, so I would request that before any action be taken on this item, that Collier and Lee County please follow your legal requirement that the tribe, the Miccosukee Tribe of Indians, is a sovereign nation, which requires government-to-government consultation, and they have lands and interests within Collier County and other areas in the state of Florida. So it may have been an oversight that they weren't officially sent notification to do consultation on this project. That's my comment.
Thank you, Ms. Osceola. Are there any, I want to give an answer from our county attorney to that question, but are there any other comments on 6A before we move on? 6A, anybody else wish to speak? Okay, we'll close public comment on 6A. Can we get an opinion from our attorneys here today just about was this advertised appropriately? Was the government-to-government contact as it should be?
Talk to her a little bit about the notice that she received. She did obviously receive some notice for this meeting.
No, I just heard about it from her.
Okay. I'll talk to her and I'll get back to you before the end of the meeting.
Okay. I don't know that we'd be able to take action
I think we should.
Yeah, the notice is advertised. The question is whether or not, I believe it was Osceola, whether or not under some of the provisions regarding specific notice to the native tribes, whether or not that was followed. We have followed state law as required, but whether there are some other federal implications, and I'm not familiar with those statutes, and I want to talk to her a little bit and follow. If we could maybe hold off taking action on this item, move to the next action item, and come back to this.
All right, let's see if there's any board discussion on it then while you have that conversation.
Well, I think that just for the sake of communication in the future, I think we could probably have a contact within the Miccosukee Nation that we deliver material to directly. I think that would go a long way. Legally, where we stand, we'll have to wait for the attorneys. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman, while we're killing time, we have staff respond to this Whiteheads.
Very good.
Issues.
Commissioner Mann, Mr. Director Scott, go ahead.
Well, the one thing, the map itself is what we're trying to do is make these roads eligible for whatever funding we can get, for instance, like trip funds, but it does not approve those items on. I mean, having to go to get an interchange, you have to go through the project development environment, the IJR, all the other interchange justification reports, all those things for those items before you can move forward with those projects.
Mr. Chair, board members, and
use the mic.
There are some elderly here this morning.
Present company.
Okay, I'm Anne McLaughlin, Collier NPO Executive Director. I certainly support everything that Don Scott just told you. I wanted to mention that this is an amendment simply to say that the interchange is in the vicinity of Everglades Boulevard on our needs analysis in the Collier County long-range transportation plan. As we amended our long-range transportation plan, we did notice that change to the public. I would have to do some research to find out whether we noticed Miccosukee tribe or not. I think it's likely we did. But I wanted to emphasize that this is not about changing the status of that interchange. It is not increasing its importance or its likelihood that it will ever be built. It's simply clarifying that we do not know its precise location at this time. It's not in our cost feasible plan. It's in our needs analysis.
Okay. Let's hear from FDOT.
Zach Birch, FDOT, younger, better-looking Birch. I do just want to clarify one thing. From the Panther report that I think was 8 or 9 years old, we do have Panther exclusionary fencing along the interstate from the toll booth all the way to the Broward County line. And we have another project that's starting this year. We're just waiting for the guardrail in the area to finish another 10 miles from, I believe, the toll booth all the way to 951. So there will be Panther fencing all the way from 951 to the Broward County line, and we have built in the last year two Panther crossings under I-75. So just to clarify, is an update from the report that was a little bit older.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Birch. What further questions and discussion do we have from the board? Councilman Birch.
Thank you. I'm glad you're here because I was looking around saying, okay, where is the Collier professional staff? The I-75, you know, we'll call it federal highway or just the state?
It's federal, I believe. I-75?
Yeah. Interstate, so.
Interstate.
You would think. Okay, so is there a federal highway professional here?
Well, I believe that God's the representative of that nation.
What's the question?
I'm going to ask is the state secretary what the Federal Highway Administration decides they would like to do. But the question will be, we're going through all these connections and all these things on the needs.
On the needs analysis for whatever they might be, which is going to be a problem to begin with. At the end of the day, what's the Federal Highway Administration saying about the Panther crossing here? and the panther population in the area. In other words, will the Federal Highway Administration tell you at the end of the day, 5 years now, when you decide to invest in putting interchange there, sorry, we did a study 5 to 10, 15, whatever, however many years ago, the panthers are endangered species, and I'm just making this stuff up as you can fill in blank. So therefore, we're not going to build it.
So the way this would work is, if we were to go into a PD&E process to identify a specific location, we would do what's called Section 7 consulting and look at what the impacts are to any threatened endangered species. And those are the types of things that establish whether or not the interchange would be built at that point.
As the federal highway, you're talking from the state standpoint or from the federal standpoint?
That's what's required by the feds.
Okay. Does the Federal Highway Administration also, with feds, whoever Larry C is in, you're speaking with now, do they also look at that as I-75, as the restrictor, or whatever you want to call it, for the flow, the sheet flow that runs north to south coming off the lake?
Well, the fact is that both for the environmental issue and with the flows of water, it's actually the environmental agencies that have jurisdiction, but we have to meet all those requirements by federal law.
Okay. Questions all answered. Thank you.
All right. Well, further
the only statement I have, I'm sure the last statement is this, is that, and we talked about this earlier, we're going to vote on the Collier project. This is strictly a Collier project. And Lee County is going to vote on this. Is everybody okay with that? There are no votes coming out of Collier County.
Well, this is a, and just for clarification, if I understood it correctly, this is a joint resolution. So basically what could happen today is Lee County could vote on their half of the joint resolution. So the Lee County folks could vote whether or not they want to sign on to this joint resolution. The Collier folks will then go to their next meeting, take up the joint resolution, and decide if they also want to sign and be part of the joint resolution. Am I understanding that and explaining it correctly?
Yeah, and you decided that you're voting on a regional map, essentially. You're not voting to approve the project.
Yeah, I understand that. But if they vote this regional map down because of this project, no. I want to make sure what happens next and how it happens along the way.
Well, that's a very good question. Is it one vote, one county? Or is it the majority in this meeting?
The way we've done it in the past is both MPOs have voted together on items.
And the vote counts as one?
Yeah, essentially, it's been approved by both MPOs.
Okay,
by
so
joint
board.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. We don't have one.
So what we're doing today does not have a quorum is Lee County's voting whether or not to approve it, and then some future Collier MPO board meeting, you're going to address that.
So if, and I'm not saying we're going to, because it's our issue.
Yes.
It originated from us.
Yes.
So, but if Collier votes no, and it passes today, and with the Lee County MPO, but Collier County votes negatively, that means what?
Throw it back out, go back to whatever was the last thing that was approved.
Okay.
Excuse me. Isn't though your the way that was just described to us? It's one vote for Lee and one vote for Collier. I always thought that the vote was taken on the number of people in totality, so that if there are 20 people here today that are voting and it's 20-0, and later on there's 18 people that vote against it, I'd still vote it passed.
Yeah, I mean it wasn't by, but we counted it as. Both MPOs have quorum in the room, and then it's everybody's vote. We don't have that today.
You know what we might do, just so we back it up, we do a voice vote and tabulate, so that depending on how this plays out in the future, we not only have an overall vote of one, we know who voted affirmative and who voted negative. Mr. Chairman, what would you suggest? Is that a good idea?
I apologize.
Okay, so the idea is that when we do vote, we do actually do a roll call so we know how many votes are affirmative and how many are negative. And then we've got both levels to register.
I'd like to throw Commissioner Taylor a good idea, and I'm happy to go with it if it's the will of the board. I'd like to just throw one alternative out here. since this is a joint resolution to adopt this map, could we, instead of taking action today, since Collier does not have a quorum today, could we listen to the presentation today? Obviously, we've taken the public comment today from the folks who have come to speak about this today, but then could we take this item back to our own MPO meetings at our next MPO, and then each of us adopt it on our own and still sign on as a joint resolution? Would that be sufficient for the FDOTs, Mr. Hadaway?
Sure.
It would be. Board members, are you okay with that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I have a motion,
without
a second.
Objection.
Anybody object to moving forward with that course of action meeting? We will take these to our own individual next meetings and then approve when we have forums at our next meeting.
I think, by the way, that every item that we have for Collier County should be handled the same way.
I agree. Mayor Beatos?
Do we still have the issue with the attorneys that it would have to be it might have to be advertised again before we can take it up at the individual meetings?
Well, it will anyway.
It
will be advertised.
With them also?
With each of you.
No, with the Indian tribe.
And they will address that.
Thank you, Mayor Beatos. Are attorneys ready to address us on that issue?
The earliest concern that's raised by the tribe is that although this may not be the statutory legal inflection point, the catalyst for consultation with the tribe, both bodies are making recommendations that will ultimately move further down the line, and those recommendations are not necessarily considering the interests of the tribe. This is mostly within Collier County. So our consensus recommendation is that this item should be pushed to Collier County MPO meeting, allow the tribe to have some conversations with that MPO, and then after those conversations, the recommendation continues to move forward, and Collier can vote on that, send their recommendation to the MPO, and then the MPO can choose whether or not to join and move forward from there. That way, at least the tribe is having conversations which they feel would be important at the beginning of the process rather than at the end of the process.
I would strongly recommend, Commissioner Mann, that you amend your motion to include the
I'll withdraw the motion. Y'all do what you want.
Just amend your motion to include the recommendation.
Trying to make it easy.
So will you amend your motion to include the recommendation by our attorney that Collier vote on this resolution first, and after their approval, they send it over to the Lee County?
That's a great idea. I don't know why I didn't think of it to begin with, and I so moved.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, again, this is another thing. So I'm sorry I'm jumping in on this, but I have the microphones on mine as well. You would need, I think it would probably be inappropriate for Lee County to make a recommendation to the judge to move Collier forward. I think at this point, now two items that we've had this conversation on, I think it's probably best to have presentations move forward, discussions between the two MPOs, and then have individual action items at your next regularly scheduled MPO meeting.
I think we just had that discussion.
No action items.
So everything from now on, according to our attorney, should be action only. I need the motion that was on the floor withdrawn. It's withdrawn. Good. All right. So everybody's okay with, let's just proceed with presentations, very brief presentations. Okay, I think we'd all like to get moving by 10:30.
And we have one more speaker. What's
in fact,
be your decision on 6B?
Let me ask this, Mr. Executive Director, actually both of our executive directors, are there any presentations that you feel we absolutely have to hear at this point, or can we go to public comment? Because I'd like to hear from the folks who showed up and wanted to talk to us.
I was going to say with river grass is pretty much the outcome. And then with the unmotorized map is pretty much the same thing we're trying to set up. So yeah, let's go to public speak.
Okay, let's go to public comment then on 6B.
I don't know.
Ms. Knapp, we've already moved on from 6A.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one thing that I hope you suspend your approval on this until the tribe has been consulted.
That's what we did.
Good.
Thank you very much. All right. Let's call our first speaker on 6B. Let's hear the public comment on it. And we have quite a few
13.
Cards.
It's 13 cards. Speech.
Each of you will have 3 minutes for public comment on this. Let's start with David Erd. Oh, Dave, your handwriting's getting worse, man. Dave Ulrich.
Dave Ulrich, speaking for myself and Responsible Growth Management. As many of you know, I just retired in June from 10 years on the lead CAC. One of my duties was also being the alternate to the lead bike ped group. That was not something I had to do very often because Linda Carter was very good about going to that. There's a formal letter that I'm sure you've already received, which RGMC is a co-signer of. I'm really making my comments outside of that letter, but not in opposition to it. When I first heard of the River of Grass, I thought it was a great idea and a connectivity between the two major cities of Naples and Miami. And at that time, I didn't raise any questions. I thought, no, no, let's just do this thing. However, as it unfolded and as I began to see some of the written reports, I began to have questions. First of all, the dollar signs. This is an extremely expensive project, and there are so many other things that we need to do related to improving the Everglades, and I won't get into all that at this time, but it's extremely expensive. Then the second question I began to get, well, why are we departing from the alignment on Tamiami Trail? My first time on Tamiami Trail was at the age of six back in 1939. Was a little boy from Chicago who had never seen such wilderness, and it's remained with me today. And my wife says I'm not supposed to say my age, but on the 16th I was 83. I just have in my heart a very deep concern for the Everglades and its preservation. But the alignment is, as last I've seen, and I assume that's still accurate, is more or less a different alignment and going into the Everglades and, in my opinion, creating a problem. And the Miccosukees will speak more eloquently on that issue, I'm sure. I feel we should stay with the original alignment. If anything, maybe we could do something to increase the permeability of that dike that was created years ago. So I appreciate that you hopefully will redesign this River of Grass Greenway to not go into the Everglades, but stay with the alignment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Yurich. Next speaker is Joe Bonas. Joe Bonas.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking the time to listen to my comments. I'm also going to talk about the River of Grass Greenway. I started biking on the Tamiami Trail going back into the 60s. My family owned land in Oshawa, which the Department of Interior decided that we shouldn't own and took it from us. But I've always had a lot of consideration what goes on. And, you know, back in the 60s, you could ride a bicycle on Highway 41 without too much danger, it still was, but it was, and we incrementally have been able to improve what's out there. I just heard what Dave had to say about DB moving the River of Grass away from Highway 41, and I don't think there's any push to be able to do anything much more than we're basically tacking a sidewalk or greenway that's alongside in the 41 corridor, along the Highway 41 corridor, and it's going to be taking a lot of environmental concerns as to each section as they go through. None of the sections have really been designed, and they're all going to have a lot of public input on each individual piece. They'll all be mitigated for any of the damages that are on there, and it's all going to be right in there on the Highway 41 corridor. Highway 41 is the big impact that's out there. So I, you know, suggest that we approve it and keep the alignment on the for the rock on Highway 41 as it is, and keep it on the map so that we can continue the study and to find out where each individual piece will go. And, you know, this is going to be incrementally built from the east coast and from the west coast. We were talking about probably the biggest change from what the original concept was that we had been looking at trying to use the earthen berm that was probably in the Dade County area. That earthen berm is probably going to disappear before the rock is ever built. So that would be the biggest change that's going on. The rock would probably be closer to 241 alongside and where the berm. It won't be on the berm because the berm isn't going to be there. But thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Bonas. Our next speaker is Bobby C. Billy. Mr. Billy.
I'm Bobby C. Billy. I'm independent. I was born and raised in the Big Cypress Swamp area, and in the past, we've seen changes throughout Florida, and it's not good. And I wish you stopped creating a concrete plant all over in Florida and beyond, because you need to think about the future of your great grandkids. What they gonna have, concrete or money? What is it? They got run out of food now. We're out of water, air, garbage dump all over in Florida State. We don't have a mountain before, but everywhere now, garbage. Population grows, taking advantage of the water. Water, right now, the Army Corps of Engineers trying to clean up the water. Where are you going to get the water when you bring all these people in here? It's not good. And we're really against the Greenway project we're going to go through Naples to Miami, because already have damaged the 41 highway and 75, cutting out waterways, what they used to flow. And those animals have no place to go, no place to eat, no place to drink water anymore when the dry season comes. So I wish you stop building roads and highways, Walmart, gas station. Think about your future generation. We survived a long time, thousands and thousands of years. We have no problem with this life. But modern creation, killing your future generation and my future generation and God's creation. Do you believe God, what that gave it to us? Or you only believe the money, your chairs? It's not, we can't eat the money. We can't drink the money. It's just a piece of paper. You make believe to yourself, you think it's important. It's not God. It's not Jesus. Think about those things. I wish you closed down in your mind, your imagination running up the you don't know where it's going. So I wish you stop doing all these. Slow down your mind. Think about your great grandkids who survive. Right now, all over the world, damage of the life cycle of life. We got earthquakes, hurricanes, dry seasons, climate change. It's a human creation doing.
Thank you, Mr. Billy. Thank you very much
for your time. So I have this still attached to the Grand Bay Project, and this is the paper, whoever I give it to.
Hand it to our executive director there. Thank you, Mr. Billy. We appreciate your comments today. Our next speaker is Dana Hua.
I think you need me, Donna Knapp.
Donna Knapp. Well, please approach and use the microphone. You'll have 3 minutes. I'll try and hold up a sign when you have 30 seconds left.
Can you hear me? Yes, you can. Okay. I'd like to start by saying that I feel that greenways are wonderful, but only in their right place, and that is in an urban setting, such as in Naples, where we actually need things like that for people to cycle, not in the Everglades. then it can be considered something as not green at all. There are historical and cultural sites, also burial grounds for the Miccosukee and the Seminole people that would be desecrated by ROGG. I don't know about you, but I would be disgusted if someone dug up my grandparents' graves and then rode their bikes across them. So that needs to be considered. It's the same thing. We should always say, rest in peace, and we say that as respect for the ones that have gone before us. I feel a great sadness for the already ailing Everglades that we are spending millions to restore from hundreds of years of abuse. The endangered animals, the ancient trees and flora and wetlands that would be filled in for this 14 to 18 foot asphalt road with lighting and possibly bathrooms and all sorts of things that the public would need for this. And imagine if they get picked off by a python, and there are many out there. You can't go too far without finding these giant monsters. And if we're blessed enough to see a panther, then I could only imagine that fencing would be put up as well, further restricting our use of the beautiful Everglades. Many of us have walked across from Naples to Miami, this year from Miami to Naples. We could see firsthand what would be at stake. The Miccosukee would be forced to have people riding bikes literally across their front yards and gardens. They've already been through enough, and that wasn't too long ago. And I think we owe them respect and that they should be left alone and not have public running across. There are plenty of bike paths and trails already, and we should not sacrifice Florida's already dwindling wildlands for a very expensive bike path. It's madness. This is another assault on Mother Earth, and there have been so many. When is enough enough before we destroy all the natural systems for future generations and life yet to come? Something not yet approved should not be on a map in order to receive funding. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Knapp. Our next speaker is Tom Ward.
Thank you. Maybe it's yellow. This one? Thanks. My name is Tom Ward. Thank you for listening. I live in Oshawa, which is in the middle of the New Cypress Swamp. I have a mailbox in Everglades City. That's because Oshawa doesn't have mailboxes. I strongly oppose the river of grass. I think all you have to do is take a trip down 41 south of Naples. As you go down the road past Collier Simo at the Mattahatchee Strand, and you look to the south side, that's where it's proposed 12 to 14 foot wide paved surface offset from the road. As you go through there, first thing you'll see is water, a lot of water. This is a dredge and fill project, at least great portions of it. You don't have to believe me, take a Sunday ride and see for yourself what would be destroyed. Leather ferns, big along the road, flocks of herring and egrets along the side. It's a trek. It's not one that we need to spend hundreds of millions of dollars to build a roadway across there. But hundreds of millions of dollars would be a lot of urban bike paths. I live there and I see possibly 100 bicyclists that are not part of riding clubs go by. 100 in a year. See a couple walkers, I saw a kid on a skateboard. So you're spending hundreds of millions of dollars for a minimum benefit, where I think that money needs to be spent. Lee County, Collier County, and your urban areas. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. Our next speaker is Trevor Sorbo. When you get to about 30 seconds.
Thank you. So when we look at the River of Grass Greenway, which is an oxymoron within itself, we have to look at things from the perspective of what's the ROI? What kind of return can you put in the numerator, and what kind of investment are we putting in the denominator? And in that denominator, we are guaranteed that we're going to be spending $140 million. I came down from Orlando to tell you that I think that's way too much money to spend for something with absolutely no guaranteed returns. And I don't know about you guys, but $140 million is a huge amount of money to spend. But if, when you multiply it by the fact that you had to have so many more people giving us that taxpayer money, that's crazy. And then you look at what's going to be spending over $500,000 per year to maintain what's essentially a bike path. That's crazy. That's guaranteed. $570,000 per year. You're telling me you can't think of one project that could be used for a better use of this money? But also, let's think about the fact that we are spending a lot of money along the Kanyami Trail to try to raise this up so that the Everglades can finally start flowing how it was designed to be by God. And when we are building this, we're basically saying, okay, great, we're going to spend a whole bunch of money to fix that problem, but we're going to go build another wall to block this water. And guys, 2016 is not the time to build a wall.
Orlando, right? Orlando, right?
While I respect and I am glad that folks get out there and bike, I'm trying to get more into fitness myself, you already have over 400 miles of pristine biking land throughout the Everglades. That 76 miles of biking land is a very marginal return. The only people who are going to be using that is that tiny 1% of people who have the means and who have the time to go biking so much that they need to go get an extra 76 miles. If those bikers want that, don't take my tax money that I work really hard to provide you guys with and that your citizens work really hard to provide you guys with to provide that. It's basically a luxury item. This is good for one, folks, and I think it's great for construction companies, but we're going to be saying it's great for the construction companies. Government doesn't create jobs by making projects. Let's build something a little more sustainable. And last, let's not forget about Law and Order, the Miccosukee tribe. They are going to be having their sacred lands upset. And it's a heinous tradition started by Florida's first military governor that we don't respect these nations, that we make deals with them, and then we come through and we again don't respect their sovereign land. So that's in conflict with my values. That alone makes it unacceptable. And I certainly hope that your values also do not find that acceptable to break the word that the American government has made. So in short, this is $140 million. For an oxymoron of a greenway that is anything but green. Please don't spend it.
Thank you for your comments, sir. Our next speaker, no clapping. This is an official.
Last speaker, question?
Yes, sir. The last speaker, did they say who they work for? They travel here from Orlando?
I don't think they're required to, just name address.
I'm sorry, I had a question. Did it say who you work for?
It does not say on the card. Our next speaker is... Our next speaker is Dr. Karen Dwyer, and it does say on the card, representing Stone Crab Alliance.
Dr. Karen Dwyer of the Stone Crab Alliance, remove ROGG from your map. Strike it from your resolution. We unequivocally oppose the River of Grass Greenway, a 76-mile multi-purpose pathway across the Everglades, because it would destroy wetlands, fragment wildlife habitat, encroach on indigenous lands, and undermine Everglades restoration. We have carefully studied the ROGG project plan and find it alarming. It maps out overwhelming roadblocks and incompatibilities, like the 50 bridges along the route that can't be widened, the disturbance of burial sites at the Turner River and Collier Settle battlefields, the routing of 500,000 unwanted visitors a year past the gates of many Miccosukee and Seminole villages lining US 41, to name only three things that make this project infeasible, ill-advised, and contrary to the public interest. The Miccosukee tribe issued an official letter against ROGG, that includes a list of federal acts and breaks, including skipping tribal consultation. Chairman Colleen Billy writes, "The ROGG project presents a substantial threat to the Big Cypress Everglades ecosystem and Miccosukee culture. Therefore, we strongly oppose it." He explains that ample opportunities already exist for recreation, including airboat tours, boardwalks, hiking trails, bike pathways, and interpretive programs for visitors. These existing resources should be utilized instead of creating a new multi-million dollar path that will destroy irreplaceable wetlands and intrude into the everyday lives of the Miccosukee community. End of the quote. Betty Osceola has gathered over 5,000 signatures on a petition opposing ROGG. ROGG is also losing support. The Naples Pathway Coalition withdrew its support while Miami-Dade relinquished its role as project lead. Project plans include building, bulldozing, dredging, filling in, redirecting water flow, building bridges, installing boardwalks, as well as constructing rest areas 10 to 12 miles, every 10 to 12 miles to provide parking, restrooms, shelters, and vending machines. Nighttime lighting is being discussed as are shuttles from Miami to Naples. To conclude, the Miccosukee and Seminoles are major stakeholders with scores of villages and trust lands within the ROGG corridor. Respect the rights of the indigenous and withdraw your support from ROGG, which is, after all, a non-essential recreational corridor. We don't want another Standing Rock. And US 41 already has designated pathways on both sides to Miami and Naples.
Thank you, Dr. Dwyer.
And Dr. Dwyer, just for a point of clarification, our executive director of MPO, who oversees the different boards, including Naples Pathway.
We have a letter of support from Naples Pathway Coalition in our file. It's included in the handouts we presented today. I think you could be referring to when management changed from Naples Pathway Coalition to the River of Grass Greenway, the Friends. But they support the project. They're on the record doing so.
And I can say the New Broward Times article that cites them by name, and I actually have a link in the letter I submitted to many on the board here that directly links you to that letter posted in the newspaper saying they had withdrawn support.
Thank you, Dr. Dwyer. Our next speaker will be John Dwyer. If you can start to make your way towards the podium. We have a comment from Councilman Burke.
Yes, Chairman, and to the Executive Director, I'm assuming. Let's remind the people that are coming, we had a consent agenda where we had open discussion about any item. This is simply about the item that's on here. If you'd like to refresh the memory of the people in the room, what we're talking about, we're not talking about the path right now, as far as I know.
We're talking about non-motorized transportation network, which right. would be reviewed by Naples Pathway.
Okay, so
the subcommittee within
that
the
pathway along the corridor there, along the interstate, the I-75 corridor is part of that.
41, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Do you want to clarify?
I should let this gentleman speak before I clarify. It's up to the chair.
We'll have time for discussion if board members, if you want to hold your questions till the end of public comment, we'll have plenty of time for discussion afterwards, including with our.
I just want to make sure.
Let's have Mr. Dwyer go ahead with his 3 minutes.
Thank you. I'm the other Dr. Dwyer. The Miccosukee tribe is not alone in opposing the ROGG. Bobby C. Billy, council of the original Miccosukee Seminole Nation, Aboriginal peoples, grew up along the proposed route of the ROGG and vehemently opposes it. The council has submitted formal written comments condemning the project as well as spearheaded efforts to stop it. In March 2015, the council led a 5-day protest march along the proposed route. In April, installed banners opposing ROGG at villages and businesses along the Tamiami Trail. In May, sent up an SOS at Monument Lake to stop the ROGG. In July 1st, staged a delegation of delivery of letters to Mark Henneke against the ROGG.
and from March to 25 March 2016 led an 80-mile, six-day protest march across the Big Cypress Everglades corridor, coupled with press conferences and fire circles. I participated in that along every inch of the way, which brings us to the point of who exactly is going to use this corridor. Presently, US 41 has a designated bike lane running from Naples to Miami, and avid cyclists like Patty Huff have been spotted using it. So too, I have walked every inch of the proposed ROGG and can assure you that it is not a particularly pleasant route. The animals, for the most part, are gone. Traffic noises, deafening heat, fatiguing dirt, dust generated by the heavy trucks, the 33 tons that go 80 miles an hour, irritating the mosquitoes, annoyingly painful. Add to that the inhospitable and unpredictable Everglades weather. The thunderstorms, heavy rains, strong winds, high temperatures, intense sun, lightning strikes, brush fires, and occasional hurricanes, as well as the crocodiles, alligators, panthers, and many other things that bicyclists would not like to be close to. Rattlesnakes. The case is closed. Only the most fit and intrepid would attempt crossing. Let me suggest that most people drive to the destinations along US 41, like the many existing boardwalks or spurs that lead along the way, and they can escape from the negative flavor of the Everglades by getting back in the car and coming home. The ROGG is a Pandora's box that will nail the coffin on our Everglades and Big Cypress.
Thank you, Dr. Dwyer. Our next speaker will be Megan Sorbo. Megan Sorbo. Good morning, Megan.
Hello. Megan, what grade are you in? Ms. Sorbo, what grade are you in?
Fifth
grade. Thank you for taking time today.
Hello. I come before you as a concerned Floridian, one who loves the natural areas and wildlife of our amazing state more than I could ever explain. There is something so special and enchanting about the Everglades. Sadly, this region has a disturbing history of extreme human exploitation. We are at a point in time when the restoration of the Everglades must prevail. The Everglades region is unique, diverse, and vital habitat. With increased development and population growth in Florida, the need to protect this land has only grown. It is long past the time to make the conservation and restoration of this plan an absolute priority. Quite frankly, I am completely baffled that a project like this could even be considered. The word greenway in the name gives false implications that this could be a non-impact to the environment. More of the precious wetlands of the Everglades will be destroyed, more vital habitat for wildlife will be infringed upon, and the flow of water will be further impeded. This is coming at a time when we should know better and have laser beam focus on Everglades restoration, not further destruction. This greenway will require parking, bathrooms, and weigh stations every 10 miles. These types of facilities have no business being newly built in currently undeveloped habitats. There are already literally hundreds of miles of trails for bike riding in the Everglades. My family and I have used and enjoyed many of these. But the destruction from these trails was caused long ago. We should know better by now and act accordingly. While I agree that a bike path across the Everglades would be intriguing, it is not a responsible decision or good stewardship of this precious land. Any bike riders who want to enjoy the Everglades already have plenty of choices. Any bike rider who truly cares about this land would not want any more of it destroyed. Preservation of every inch of land is much more important than anyone's enjoyment of a new bike trail. Everglades restoration must be paramount. us today. It is only fair to me and my generation, as well as future generations, to do everything possible to not repeat past mistakes by destroying any more of the Native kids. Thank you very much.
Very good. I'm glad you're not going to be running against me in this. Thank you, Ms. Sorbo. Our next speaker is Betty Osceola.
Ms. Osceola, that's a hard act to follow, isn't it?
Oh, it's my speech. It is. Everything that I would hope to be able to say, she said it.
And the reason that she's correct, she is the future generation as her future generations. We are only here in our time, but we have to leave places for them to have their chance. And if we continue to develop and destroy without regards to those that come after us and to follow it in our footsteps, and hopefully we lay down good footsteps for them to follow, they're not going to have anywhere to go. Here I brought, earlier it was mentioned I had a petition going. As of this morning, I have 5,428 signatures on the petition with comments. I did email a copy last night to Mr. Scott, but I actually printed it in case he didn't have an opportunity because it was almost midnight, I think, when I sent it to him. But that's here. I also brought copies of a Sierra Club sign-in letter for 46 businesses and organizations along the route of 41, the route of ROG that would be, ROGG that would be impacted, 64 organizations and businesses who are opposed to this. Also myself, not only am I a Mississippi tribal member, and I'm also a business owner along 41. And I don't know if anyone, I personally, because of the, I'm in the tourism industry, 90% come to the United States, they already have pre-arranged plans, they're in a car, they want to get from A to B on a regimented schedule. So who is supposed to be on this $150 million project? In our estimates, it's much more, because the operating maintenance cost isn't figured in. Hardly anyone would use it except for diehards that are very committed. And I commend them for being that in that physical shape to be able to do that. But that's not reality for Florida. In our tribe, the Miccosukee tribe, I got, I'm also here on their behalf, that I'm going to read a quote from one of their comments from July 7, 2015. This is negative cultural impacts. The project violates the tribe's rights under existing federal law that protects our sovereignty, culture, and ceremonial practices. The entire proposed ROGG corridor is rich in Miccosukee cultural, historical, and archaeological resources. Also, too, I would like to remind these counties that the United States has signed the UN Declaration of Indigenous Rights. Indigenous people have a right to pre and prior informed consent, which we have not given. And I got current permission from our tribal chairman, the current chairman, who is Billy Cypress, that I am to deliver a message that they will be forthcoming. Their attorneys are drafting their letter that they are still being greatly opposed to this project. They do not want the ROGG built through their lands. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Osceola. Our next speaker is Frank Dennings.
He has a handout too, you know.
Mr. Dennings, come up to the table and.
Okay, I'll wait for you.
And get
Microphone. Yeah, we can listen.
Okay.
And Mr. Dennings, when you get to 30 seconds, I'm going to hold this up for you.
Okay. I'm going to get 5 extra. I came 130 miles.
Here.
Please. Hello?
Yep.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm Frank Dennings, representing the Everglades Coordinating Council from Miami. And that's a consortium of about 18 outdoors access groups that advocate for public access to public land. And trying to assist government agencies when and where we feel necessary. We do a lot of work. We've done it for 34 years, working with state, federal, and local governments on different things such as this. My main purpose here today is to make a request to remove the red line representing US 41 on this map above me, east of San Marco Road. San Marco Road, if you go from the lower right up to the first line breaking to the west-southwest, that's San Marco Road. As far as I know, that is not a non-motorized trail in any formal manner at this time. And I also understand there was confusion that led to the desire to do a map such as we have here so that you wouldn't have a legend confusion or what have you. And I don't think that's a good enough reason to not use the previous iteration of the map. But I also understand the line was put in there to get in line for funding, which ECC as an organization doesn't want either. And, you know, also it's a little strange to have the staff and the insider using one type of a map, and the general public, I'm feeling, would be have this map to look at so that they're not so confused. I kind of consider that, if my concept of it is correct, somewhat condescending. And I would think any staff person would be happy to assist a citizen with a question on a map. And also want to back up what Betty said about the Sierra Sinai letter. I checked the copy I have of it the other night, and I supplied it in a comment. I don't know if you all got to see my letter yet. But it had at least 13 businesses I know of in Dade and Collier County on or near 41, major businesses like Bobwell's Real Estate, Everglades City, Outdoor Resorts, Marina, etc. And there's also, I don't have the audiovisual help here I thought I would get, but the parking, if the new trend of putting 41 from the draft to the final plan, the off-road ROGG came onto the shoulder. With ROGG in place on the shoulder, there is not enough place to safely park a vehicle in an emergency, or even if you're out recreating, fishing, hunting, or wildlife observation. And also, there's plans to narrow this highway. I have, in those papers there's a third sheet has a yellow accented area on it. I interpret that as one to reduce the lanes in certain areas from 12 to 10 feet wide.
Thank you, Mr. Ginninger.
And also, the diagram shows that the head-on avoidance distance of 102-inch semis allowed on that road goes from 3 foot.
Okay, Mr. Ginninger, thank you very much. Your 3 minutes has expired. We appreciate you speaking. Patty Hubb is our next speaker. Good morning, Ms. Hubb.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to let me speak with you, and I am so happy there are so many here, people here that are speaking for the Everglades, because we all are for the Everglades, and people don't realize that I do love the Everglades. I started coming here for the first time 50 years ago. I brought my children here 30 years ago. I moved here permanently in Everglades City 20 years ago, and I continue to take my grandchildren walking, hiking, and biking through the Everglades. So there are a lot of good facilities. What I've seen over the past 50 years is that things have changed along the Tamiami Trail. When I first started coming here, there were the Australian pines blocking on the north side of the trail. There were hardly any cars. I would drive here late at night when I was commuting back and forth from the Keys for a while before I moved permanently 20 years ago. And things have changed on the trail. It's not a safe place now to hike or to bicycle along. There are people coming from international areas that call me asking where they can bike. They're coming to the Everglades to see the birds, and they do want to have, they were going to be using it as a bicycle trip. This is happening around the country. People have want to have a healthier lifestyle. They want to have safety when they do bicycle. There are people that do enjoy hiking and biking and a healthy lifestyle. I'm glad my husband got me involved in this about 20 years ago to start appreciating more of the other parts of the country and other parts of the world by bicycle, not bike path. But in the Everglades is where I'm concerned about. I love it there. I love to be able to offer an alternative transportation. And there are people that are talking about there will be no lights, there are no additional, shouldn't have any additional facilities. If people would read the actual document and the current document from a year ago, a lot of those petitions were written when a lot of the comments weren't included, but we've included the tribe since the all three sections, the Miccosukees, the Seminoles, and the Independents, since 2010, 2011, 2013. But if you read the current one, you'll see that we say any future ROG facilities would accommodate the needs and would also accommodate looking at environmental things. As Billy pointed out earlier, this is just the step one for this. This map does not mean that there will not be additional environmental studies, cultural assessment surveys. That's not what the plan is. But look at the current plan. Go to EvergladesROGG.org, and you can read the current plan, which addresses most of these concerns. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Huff. And we have one question for you, Ms. Huff.
Yes.
Hi, Ms. Huff, Penny Taylor. You appeared before us in the Collier County MPO, and you went on record saying that the Miccosukee Nation had not made a decision of whether they would support, and that your support would hinge on them saying they do or do not want it.
No,
they have made a statement here that they do not want this.
And that's, I'm sorry, that's the first time that I've heard that they do not want it, because I have been in contact with them. That I know that I saw Chairman Collie Billy's statement before, but now with the latest document that we have, this is a July 2016 document, and Chairman Billy and the other comments and the letters from the Sierra Club were based on the old drafts. We've incorporated a lot of the new information from it, and so we're waiting to hear from them. And so that's when Betty talked about that. It's the first time I heard about it. Now, what I did say is that there are quotes there saying that when it comes to the Miccosukee and their lands and indigenous areas and the cultural aspects, there are more studies that will be done, and parts of the pathway would not be built if it's not in agreement with them. So it's that's what I said at the last meeting.
No, maybe you didn't say that, but that's quite all right.
Okay,
I just really wanted to go on record to say that
you
represented yourself
to
the Collier County MPO, and what your testimony was very powerful because of who you are and where you live. And you misrepresented the facts, and my board voted a lot on what you had said. I disagreed with you, ma'am, and that's all I need to say.
We will continue to work with all of the tribe, and as we have in the last 6 years. Any other questions?
Thank you, Ms. Huff. Our next speaker will be Dana Fendrick. Dana Fendrick.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, and when you get close, I'll hold this up so you know you have 30 seconds.
I am here representing the Pathways Advisory Committee at the Collier County MPO, and also I am a member of the Board of Directors of the Friends of the River Grass Greenway. I've heard quite a few things here today that were, I don't know if I can rebut all of them, but one of the main things is that the majority of this pathway can be accommodated within the existing right-of-way of US 41, or within jurisdictional lands of the South Florida Water Management District. We're not going to be blazing a new trail across wilderness that hasn't been touched. It's within an already impacted corridor, and it's a public transportation corridor that is currently only friendly to motor vehicles. And adding the pathway would make it safer for all users, including pedestrians, hikers, cyclists, fishermen, recreationists. And the pathway, the cross sections that are in the current plan do have taken into consideration many of the comments that were made during the public input process and from the basemen and the hunters. The pathway is located far enough off the edge of pavement that there's an 8-foot space, so people can pull off and park and go in and hunt. There is no lighting proposed. The majority of the proposed rest stops that are the recommended 10 to 12 miles apart
can be provided by existing facilities, so there's very little that would need to be built in terms of extra parking, extra restrooms. There's many facilities along the way that would serve that function. And as noted in the current plan, and there's no private commercial facilities being proposed. So in my view, it would be, and Joe mentioned this, that the whole, this is a preliminary concept, the feasibility master plan that we have now. And the final project of this magnitude gets built in segments. And so each segment is going to go through an extensive design and permitting and environmental reviews, cultural assessments, and all of these issues would be looked in great, far greater detail at that point and designed to the site-specific context and come up with the most low-impact, environmentally friendly design that we can and enhance the public access to public parks in a low-impact manner.
Thank you, Ms. Bendry, for your comments. And our final speaker that I have a card for is Patty White.
Damming the Hetch Hetchy Valley in California. He said, you dam the Hetch Hetchy, D-A-M. You dam the Hetch Hetchy, D-A-M-N. And that applies here with regard to this another strip of asphalt, this hardscaping, the continuous hardscaping of the Everglades. My concern is, you know, it's absurd that we have so many streets and roads in and between Lee and Collier County that require improvements for bike and pedestrian safety, and yet, you know, we have special interests pressuring the powers that be looking to commit funds to this project that doesn't add one iota of safety for actual commuters that, you know, that do not rely on single occupant motorized vehicles. That would be cyclists, pedestrians, and those that need access, better access to public transit through sidewalks. Or school children that live within biking or walking distance of their schools, yet can't make that short trip by foot or on two wheels because of lack of accessibility and the overbearing dangers of vehicular traffic. What an incredible misplacement of transportation funds, in my honest opinion. When you look at this depiction of what they're planning, there's no shade along this path. Honestly, nobody's going to bike this in the middle of summer, certainly not mosquitoes. Intense humidity. Betty made a very good point to me. She said most of the tourists coming from other parts of the world come from colder climates. They're not used to this, to the duress of this, the climate conditions of Southwest Florida, the subtropical conditions. They would pass out on a trail like this. No shade structures whatsoever. You know, we have an issue with fatalities, bicycle fatalities here in our urban metroplex between Lee and Collier County. In numbers of death, we tied for third statewide in 2014. Four bicyclists died in the entire state of Iowa in the same time period that eight bicyclists died in Lee County. Lee ranked 11th for its rate of cyclist fatalities per 100,000 people, double the rate of Miami. Lee hit a 14-year high in bike injuries. We need interconnectivity in our urban areas. This is where the funds need to be applied. Not here. If you want a truly immersive experience of biking in the Everglades, you have that now. You can go to Black Island Trails. You can go to Turner River Road. There's just a multitude of hidden gems of pathways that are off the beaten path you can experience, and that's where you're truly going to experience the Everglades, not contiguous along 41. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Whitehead. Does anyone else in the, no clapping please, anyone else in the gallery wish to speak in public comment. Okay, please take the microphone, and when you're finished, could you please turn in a card for us?
I wasn't prepared to speak, so I just kind of wrote things down real quick.
And can you give us your name?
Martha Clay. I'm a Mississippi native that's been a Naples resident for 24 years. My family's village is across from San Marco Road in Seminole State Park on the edge of the Everglades, and I drive down to Mississippi at least twice a month. I actually walk down the Greenway pathway in Naples at least five times a week, and I see trash along the pathway when there's garbage cans. Like, it's a pathway that's 2 miles long, and there's garbage cans along the way, and I see trash flooded every week, new trash. I don't want to see this in the Everglades. Like, it shouldn't be. And I don't think anyone I talk to, too, says this idea is so stupid. This idea doesn't make sense. And you're talking about you want to preserve the Everglades? How is this preserving or restoring the Everglades? You're taking away from the Everglades. I just have to say something.
Thank you for your comments. We appreciate you taking the time to be a part of it this morning. Does anyone else wish to speak further on this topic? All right, going once. Frank, you've already had your chance. I appreciate you. Any other folks who have not spoken yet wish to have a chance? All right, seeing none, we'll close public comment for this issue. Let's go ahead and have board discussion if the board wishes to have discussion. Councilman Birch.
First is to see we've lost. First of all, kudos to you and to Commissioner Taylor. You're the only two people in Lee and Collier County here discussing the Collier County problem. So thank you both for being here and having the courage.
I couldn't hear what you said.
I said thanks to Commissioner Taylor and thanks to Commissioner Mahan.
Commissioner Viala has a question for you.
It's on.
Thanks to Commissioner Hammond. Thanks to Commissioner Taylor for being here, period. You're the only two people that I know of from Lee County and Collier County that are, unless I'm wrong, you can
Commissioner Viala.
I'm Collier County.
All the cities, but the county commissioners? County commissioners?
Is a commissioner.
Yes.
And we're from the city.
Okay, so you let the two commissioners.
Yeah, and Commissioner Yao is our chairman.
Okay, good. So we have a couple of county commissioners from Collier. I'm very, very happy, and one from Lee County. The point being, thank you all for being here. The point being that we've sat here from the cities for I don't know how long listening to all of this. We're not going to make a decision because you have no quorum, and I don't know if we do or not. The question was, do we have a quorum left? We lost three members in the interim since we lost Mr. Hildegrass, Mr. Mann, and Mr. Geiger.
Well, I believe we already had stated that we weren't going to take any action at this meeting anyway, so regardless of if we had a quorum, we're not taking action today.
Okay, so.
Which means we will have the wonderful opportunity to discuss this again at a future meeting.
That was
take public comment again at a future meeting. So
that was my second point, Mr.
If you wanted to save some of your comments for the future meeting, you are more than welcome to.
You know what?
That wasn't just you, that was all the
time. No, I understand. Believe me. But certainly, I came down here, and so I am going to speak because all these people came down here and said their piece. This is a very emotionally charged issue, undoubtedly. AKA the reason why Collier's not here, the reason why Lee left. I think that to those of you that took your time and stood up here the last one was very emotional and could hardly speak. The Secretary Hathaway, I think it's time for you to give us some parting words, because the reality here is that the federal, and we've already heard the Declaration of Indigenous Rights through the federal government for the Miccosukee. So we have a voice. Everybody has a voice here. And thank you all for coming down today. Thank you all for saying your piece. And everybody understand that the Secretary of DOT, whether it's Billy Hathaway or somebody else, and the Secretary Fox, et cetera, all the way to Tallahassee, all the way to Washington, all of them will take your comments into consideration. The design will take the comments into consideration, and we'll come up with a project down here. If all of us do not participate, all of us at one time, which we do not have today, then we won't accomplish what we want to accomplish, which is the pathway, whether it's bike net or whatever, plus making sure that we preserve the rights of the people that are there already. In my city council, I said it, and these people have heard it many, many times, I made a promise when I was elected to ensure that the people that have what they have when they first purchase don't lose what they have. First. Second comes the people that move in after them that want more and understand the rights between the two and understand the difference between the two and make sure that you protect the rights of both. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further discussion on item 6B on this issue? Councilwoman Gore, we have a microphone on the way.
So I'm glad I'm not taking action today because I've been trying to catch myself up on this. And I'm so grateful for everybody who spoke. And I just want to say that, you know, we all of us, I'm on Fort Myers Beach, and so, you know, we're trying to control development. River Hall had a big issue controlling development. San Carlos Island is trying to control development. And I think we need to respect these neighborhoods, the people who live in these neighborhoods, above development. I'm looking at the pathway, and it's the people who are there. It's a park, it's a national park. It's so important to protect it. And so I'm going to continue to research and talk to Don and find out more about this, but I do appreciate everybody who came and spoke. You were very powerful. And Ms. Taylor, thank you for speaking up and when the one woman spoke.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
What other discussion do we have, board members? Okay. Commissioner? Very good. All right, at this time, if there's no further discussion, we've heard the public comment, we've seen the presentation, we've discussed it amongst ourselves, we'll go ahead and move on to the next item on today's agenda then, and each board will take this up, and we will make sure it is advertised appropriately so that everybody will know to get to those meetings. Mr. Scott, go ahead with the next item.
The next item was talking about a resolution supporting the request to add State Route 82 to the National Highway System. I know there were questions from the Collier Board. I don't know if you want to specifically ask those at this time or to have us come down and meet with the board directly.
I think our executive director, Ms. McLaughlin, is going to summarize what the board decided to do, and then we can look at the future.
Good morning. I think it's still morning. And McLaughlin, Allier, MPO executive director. Our board reviewed this at their last board meeting last Friday, and they did take a vote and decided that they would like more time to gather more information about this proposal. They had several questions, and I'll reiterate them shortly. And then they would like it to be postponed or continued to a later date so that all their questions could be answered. Of primary concern, it was what exactly are the ramifications of designating a roadway to the National Highway System, what sort of restrictions would be at play that local entities would have to address that they might not have had to address prior to that designation. And they wanted to know if during the time period that the designation was being considered and reviewed by Florida Department of Transportation and FHWA, would that inadvertently delay progress on certain very critical construction projects involving State Road 82. And as I recall at the end of the meeting, that the Florida Department of Transportation said they would look into these questions and come back with additional information, but I doubt that a week is enough time for them to have given it that kind of consideration.
Okay, what questions, board members, do we have for our staff? Comments? I'll open with just one quick comment, just as, again, thank Secretary Hathaway and the folks at FDOT. The expediting of the funding to move up the construction of State Road 82 is going to save lives. I mean, it's fantastic. And I just, I think it's a great example of how intergovernmental relations should work, how we should all work together to respond to the problems that the folks who we serve have asked us to respond to. And I can say this as a Lee County Commissioner, I want to do everything we can to support the folks in Collier who need to get State Road 82 also made safer in their area. It is a road that actually cuts across Collier, Henry, and Lee, and it is truly the definition of a regional concern, if there ever was one. Commissioner. Sure.
I just, you know, on a personal note, last year our son played a football game out in Immokalee, and it was actually that game later on that evening that one of the coaches from Immokalee left that game and was, unfortunately, he and his family killed on that road. You know, there's a lot of different people that travel that road, and I can assure you a lot of them are young athletes as well, amongst others. So I concur with your thoughts.
Thank you, Councilman. Okay, we have no public comment cards that have been turned in for this discussion item. Does anyone wish to speak on item 6C? Seeing none, we'll close public comment. Let me ask our staff, do you need anything further from the board then? Okay. All right. Let's move to our next item. That was 6C. We did 7A earlier. So let's move on to 7D, as in boy or bravo.
This is providing an update on the status of notice proposed rulemaking on MPO coordination planning and area reform. And just to provide some background, some of our guests today probably don't know about this item. Federal Highway and FTA are pushing to combine MPOs that essentially serve either the same urbanized area or will grow into within the next 20 years the same urbanized area or touch among them. The proposed requirements are changes in the definition of that MPA. Right now, our MPA, what we deal with is Lee County itself, and Collier County deals with that. But actually, the Bonita Springs urbanized area cuts essentially from Estero down, and the Cape Coral urbanized area is from Estero up. And I have a map that'll show that in a second. The governors and the MPO have to be determined whether multiple MPOs are warranted within a single MPO, MPA area based on the size and complexity. Multiple MPOs within a metropolitan planning area would jointly develop planning products, include a single metropolitan transportation plan, a single TIP, and performance targets. So we're talking about priorities together, things like that. In order to improve state coordination with MPOs, states and MPOs would be required to maintain a current planning agreement, and the metropolitan planning agreements must include coordination strategies, dispute resolution procedures between the MPOs. So what's impacted in Florida? There's 22 of the 27 MPOs would be impacted by this, and 143 in the nation. Now, this is a notice that was opened in the summertime. It was closed and then reopened again last month and closes this month. The second time around was to get some more. Both of us have commented on all the issues. There's 500, when I looked in there the other night, there are 545 comments from around the country. Most of them are against this, but we'll see where it goes. This is kind of the direct impact just to us in our area. The Lee MPO area is reduced back to the Cape Coral urbanized area, and the Collier MPO area is expanded to the Bonita Springs. These are the options that might happen if you chose different things. To say, okay, no, we only want to have, for instance, Collier as the one of the urbanized areas and Lee as the other, and then we have to go and cut at the boundaries, which doesn't make any sense whatsoever in Estero, where actually cuts it in half, essentially. The two MPOs are combined to cover both Cape Coral and Bonita Springs urbanized areas, so then you'd be a combined MPO. The two MPOs remain separate, but are now required to produce a joint long-range transportation plan for the entire area, and then a joint TIP, essentially all the projects, and then jointly establish performance targets. And the last one is where a lot of the questions come up, too, because if you start looking at the map, it's really bigger than just Lee and Collier. If you look at the area where we pretty much touched, I call it kind of the horseshoe effect there, where you could have an MPO that goes up the West Coast, across Orlando, and back down the East Coast. In And some of the examples, if you look at like Boston, they had areas from New Hampshire all the way down to pretty much northern New York as one MPO. Not really sure that's the intent of it, but if you read further into the process of how they could apply this, that could happen. Now, obviously, the governor would have a say in all that. We would have a say in all that. But even if you stay separate, there are joint requirements. So they reopened it, and these are the specific questions they've asked. Specific and detailed comments on the expected cost of implementing the proposed rule, which is a little bit tough when you consider, okay, well, how many of these MPOs are supposedly being attached together? What is our, who are we being attached to from a government, or are we just independent? All those other issues that go along with it. And then if you start talking about the big picture, in the state of Florida, where a lot of the federal requirements for MPOs are also in state statute. So anything that gets changed from there has to change the state statute. So we end up having to change the state statute from that side to the costs that are involved with that. And then the second question was specific and detailed comments that contribute to the understanding of the impact of the proposed requirements for unified planning projects, products, and where multiple MPOs serve the same urbanized area. And then potential exceptions out of it. So we're laying this out. We don't know if it really happens. This looks like to be like an end of term type of push through. I understand it came from Secretary Fox. He used to be a mayor in Charlotte and had some issues with multiple MPOs in that area based on projects that move forward. It remains to see if this gets pushed forward, but we wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of it. We're all making comments on it, continue to make comments on it, but I don't know where it goes from there, but we will keep you all up to date. And obviously, we start talking about issues that we've had today. It's a little different coming, you know, the two MPOs together versus if we all had to go to Orlando for a night or something like that. It was a much bigger MPO than we're talking about.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. Board members, any comments or discussion? Councilman Birch?
Of course. This is something that I came down here to talk about this, not everything else we talked about.
This is something that the MPO, the ones that are left here, as we said, this is a very little embarrassing. This is why they're talking about us up there. We need to take this very seriously. Secretary Fox says he is going to consolidate all the MPOs, and this is why. We must take this. If we do not want to be here, we won't be here. Pure and simple. It's very simple. If we want to be here, let's be a meaningful, relevant group. And that's the bottom line. That's the only message we have. But we cannot tell them that, no, we think the MPOs are working just fine. It's simply because they say they don't. They already agree that we do not work just fine. So let's see if we can get this thing together. I'm the vice chairman of the Southwest Regional Planning Council. You'll get a call soon from them. And we, in the Planning Council, we're trying to help you. We've been emasculated. We've been torn down. We've been, the governor's already said, we don't think you're relevant. We worked very hard at trying to demonstrate that we are. We think that the answer to this problem could very well be the MPO and the RPC getting together and becoming something more meaningful. These, not the non-motorized, but the motorized regional efforts. I've introduced the economic overlay map to the Planning Council. In Cape Coral, we're doing the economic overlay map. We're going to give that to the Council. We need your transportation corridors. So in other words, we need your input, not just your files, but your input. So let's see if we can use this as a segue to the Planning Councils and the MPOs getting together and trying to make this is a more meaningful meeting. Let's have something good come out of this meeting. That would be good. And you and others will be invited to discuss what it is that the RPCs and the MPOs can do together, which they did. This is not news. This is not breaking news. This is something that's happened. Beth, we must communicate. We must communicate. We cannot sit on islands and do our thing because the state government and the federal government says we're tired of that. Thank you.
What other comments do we have?
I have one, Commissioner.
I understand what you just said. Then we would lose our autonomy, is really what it ends up to be.
Each area has their own concerns, own issues, their own type of infrastructure. Even the ground that we build these roads on is different depending on where you are. Now, yes, we need to work together on certain regional matters because we are connecting to one another. On the other hand, when you don't know a thing about the other person's county, you read something but you have no background, you're making a decision for them? I don't think so. That's not really good. I sat in an FPO meeting quite a few years ago, and we were discussing, it was Leon Coyer, who was a regional MPO, and we were discussing $10 million that was available for us. And we had our request from Collier County, and Lee County had their request. And they had about 20 people sitting at the table, and we had about seven. And obviously, of course, none of the $10 million came to us. And later on, they had a few little dollars. You were there, right, Don?
Well, I have the history for it anytime anybody wants to hear it all.
And we got a little bit, but it was very disheartening. And that's the first time I realized, you know, if you don't have the same amount of votes, it's not very good anyway. Secondly, if you don't know what the other county is doing or their background or what their topography is or whatever, you know, can you really do that? I think it's necessary, like we do, to meet regionally on some of the issues. We don't understand what's happening in Lee, and they don't understand what's happening in Collier, but we try and work together to support one another because the roads connect. But I don't know if I want to get any closer than that. And I don't care what Mr. Fox says. Thank you.
I'll echo those sentiments along Commissioner Fiala. I think what you had to say is important on particular issues, but not on this particular issue. I think there are regional impacts that affect us all. And pretty similarly, but I don't think this is one of the areas. So I would reject possibly what you suggested.
Okay, any further comments? Yes, Councilman Birch.
Yeah, I must rebut, I suppose, to Collier County. I think the first speaker said it up well. That was, we don't know what Collier does, and Collier doesn't know what Lee does. Generally speaking, that's true, and that's why the assault on the MPOs is exactly where it's at. We must try and communicate better now than we did before. That's all I'll say. Nothing more, nothing less. I want nothing to do with your Collier County MPO. You know better, just like I know better at Cape Coral than Lee County knows what to do with the money that should be coming over there. So I'm not trying to take your county over. I'm trying to make you a better county, and I'm trying to make you work with Lee County better than what Lee County works with you. So that's all. It's all intended to be in goodwill and good faith. Thank you.
Any further comments, board members?
Yeah, Brian.
Yes, Councilman.
Quickly, I'll jump into this one. What is being proposed really is just one step above what we already have. The MPO, a good example, Lee County MPO, is a combination of the various cities and towns and different governments within Lee County. And they all have their own autonomy. They all have their own issues. And then they bring it to the table at our MPO, and I'm sure Collier County has the same situation. For us to get together and work together, you will have your autonomy, we have our autonomy. The idea is when we get together, we discuss it and get together and understand each other's issues.
Like this.
And work together. Exactly. There's a threat to the MPOs right now. We had this conversation at the executive committee meeting. They are trying to get us working together in a regional setting. And Councilmember Birch pointed out, you look at the tables right now, and that is part of the issue, that they probably are not as well manned and forced during the meetings as they could be, even in our meetings. We have an occasional, not very many, but an occasional meeting where we don't have a quorum. So I can understand the state's move to try to get people working together more closely and to get the regionalization, but maybe get an MPO that has people that are dedicated, really dedicated to doing what they're doing.
So I think that's important. And I lost my second thought. I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Very good. Okay. To our executive directors, what further comments do you need from the board members? Do you need anything from us going forward?
No, we just wanted to point out, because we're having a side conversation, that if we were forced to be, say we're forced to be combined together, the makeup of the board would be by population. So you still have some of those issues where it's unbalanced. One of the things we might want to consider moving forward, when we set this up back in 2004 for regional, it probably fit what we were doing at the time. Over time, it's probably not fitting as well. Look at what they do in like the Tampa area, where it's, I think it's the chair's coordinating committee, where there's a certain number of each of the counties that get together as the regional entity. So it's all the same number of that multiple entity. It may be a little different for, you talk about two counties, but they get together and they kind of report back to the separate MPO boards on the type of actions that go forward. And that might be a consideration moving forward too.
That's a great idea. I think that balances it a lot better, because if it's based on population, Collier's going to lose out again and again, pretty much what our chairman of our commission just said. So, by the way, you've had 16 years of watching MPO and its progress, and I'm not belittling that or saying, she knows what she's talking about. So if there could be, can we suggest,
our regional agreement's between the two of us, so we can decide what we want to do from there. And I'm not saying it just from the side of, it's just even the membership. It's hard to get everybody together at a certain time. It's a lot easier to get certain members together at those times.
So you're suggesting a not only to have our own MPOs, but that scheduling a periodic meeting between the heads of MPOs to come together on a regional aspect?
The way it's kind of put is, it might be like, and I don't, maybe someone in that area knows more specifically what the representation, but you might have a city council member and a chair, or whatever, a commissioner of each or something like that, or some kind of multiples of that get together and address those regional issues and then go back to the separate boards.
Is that what's being suggested, or is that...
I'm just throwing out something, you know, we have a regional agreement right now, but we could look at addressing a different regional agreement in the future.
May I speak, Mr. Chair? Perhaps the two boards could direct us to look into options and study a variety of them and bring them back to you. That being one,
Do we need to take that action now, or is this action that we would need to take if the rule actually goes through?
I think we need to be proactive in this.
Well, let me explain what I was trying to say. Would you like us, as your two staffs, to revisit and analyze the joint regional resolutions in place now?
Yes, because we can't vote on anything anyway.
And come back to you with some suggestions for your consideration.
Yes.
Yeah, and I like the idea you're working together to do it, too. Yes. I love that.
Yes, I agree. And I say, Mr. Chair and Ms. to the Vice Chair, this is exactly what we need. We need two executive directors. The two executive directors get together, determine what it is. You've heard from this board today. You've heard from the people here that care very much about what we do and whether we exist or we do not. We are on the brink of extinction. You must remember that, and you must take that seriously. So please bring us the options of how we can interact as a board, how we can do that better, how we can do it fairly without, based on population, whatever that might be. Obviously, cutting a sterile in half makes no sense at all, but that's exactly what's going to happen because they have no boundaries. The federal government has no boundaries in Lee County or in Collier County or in the state of Florida. All they say is carve it up. We don't care. This is a nuisance to us. They should have done it themselves. That's what they're thinking. So it will be up to you two to bring us some suggestions as to how we can be a better board than we are. And that's purely all we need. That's all we need. Thank you.
Obviously we are not taking a vote today, but it appears there is some consensus among the group. Does anyone wish to share any comments? Any other comments, though? Mr. Councilman Oakland.
Yeah.
Kind of mic time.
I generally agree with the sentiments expressed by our colleagues from Collier County. Very big on home rule, obviously, within that context, coordination. Pretty simple concept. I'm a little bit in lack of clarity about who's doing what to whom here. In other words, when I saw the presentation, I heard a few concepts. One was putting everything together. The other one was giving Benita half of a star, which is interesting. Yeah.
We tried that.
We're warm and cuddly. And the third was kind of a super NPO. But who's making what decision with respect to this?
This was a notice of proposed rulemaking that came from Federal Highway and MTA.
Okay.
Got you. I have yours. No, that's okay. It wasn't on.
Right.
And essentially, if you read through it all, it's, I don't know, the original was 92 pages, something like that. It can be interpreted several different ways, and that's why those options are not what our choice. The way I put it before was, none of those are good choices.
Right.
But the interpretation could be that any of those could happen.
So, Councilman Burchard is making a point of this, implying that this could get crammed down on us. Is that the case?
Well, I will tell you the things that probably would happen out of this. What we're hearing is, this is coming from Secretary of Transportation right now. No matter who gets elected president, he probably will not be the Secretary of Transportation moving forward. So you never know what might change from there, but obviously you can see some of the intent behind it also. Thank you.
In other words, the party words, the train has left the station and the ball is rolling down the hill. Don't get underneath it. Don't get on the track. Get ready and be and get it right before they get to it.
Very good. Any further comments? Okay. Let's take up the next item. Item C. 7C.
Did they give you direction? Are we in agreement that our executive directors will get together and give us...
Great question. The best.
Yes.
I believe we have that consensus.
Okay.
I haven't heard anybody say otherwise. Very good.
Good, thank you.
Good clarification. Very good. Okay, item C.
Good morning. I'm Michelle Arnold. I'm the Director for Public Transit and Neighborhood Enhancement for Collier County. This item is just an informational item for you all. We are going through we have two routes in the Immokalee community that are providing transit service, that provide circular service throughout the Immokalee area. And we're in the process now of evaluating those routes to ensure that we are providing service to all of those attractors within the community that the community is interested in reaching. As a part of that effort, we are also wanting to, you know, this meeting has been talking a lot about regionalization, but we are also talking with our neighboring counties, Lee, Henry County, to ensure that whatever modifications we do, that future planning efforts can be enhanced by providing connections throughout the county borders. There is actually an effort right now, speaking with Lee and Henry County regarding a service that has been applied for a grant to provide connecting service within Collier County to Henry County to provide medical, educational services, and those types of things to the adjoining counties. So efforts are being made within the counties to make sure that when we are planning our transportation currently and looking into the futures, that we are considering our neighbors, because when it comes to things like this, there really aren't any boundaries. We do have residents within our community that need to get into other areas within the adjacent counties. So we're doing those efforts right now. And as I pointed out, Good Wheels has applied for a grant, and we understand that they have been notified by the Commission for the Transportation Disadvantage that they are probably going to receive that grant. There's other opportunities such as A2. We're currently doing planning efforts for expansions on that roadway. So we don't have service on that roadway currently, but that is one of those connecting roadways that we would like to explore transit service so that we have good connection between the two county lines. I just want to finally close by mentioning that we do have an existing route between Collier and Lee County that is performing very well. It's the link route, Lee and Collier County. It runs along US 41, and I know that we have lots of requests from both residents in Collier and Lee County for expanding that service because it does provide a route for employment for both counties. So if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer. But again, this is just an informational item, and just to let you all know that we are working with our adjoining counties to plan.
Thank you for the presentation. Any discussion or questions? Okay. Thank you very much for the presentation. Let's move to item D, an update on District 1 MPO Chair Summit and Coastal MPO Alliance.
We had received a letter back, it's been several months ago, about having the MPO chairs and directors get together in District 1. I think it was kind of a recommendation that came out of, at the Charlotte MPO board meeting. We are looking to schedule that in January at this point. And I'm sure we'll have some of the discussion about some of the joint things we were talking about earlier.
Very good. Questions, board members? Comments? All right. Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Scott. That concludes the agenda, the items. We did not. We did add into our agenda the public comment on items that were not on the agenda. Does anybody wish to speak in public comment on items? Are you Robert King?
Yes, I am.
Come on up, and we'd love to hear from you on your item that is not on the agenda.
Okay.
And the same rules apply. You'll have 3 minutes. When you're getting close to 30 seconds left, I'll hold up a little sign for you.
I'll try not to take that long. Good morning. My name is Robert King. I'm the current president of the Association of Belaterra and a member of the East Corkscrew Alliance, which is a group of communities along Corkscrew Road that are very much concerned about the program that's going to start on November 1st to do some beach replenishment. The program, as I understand it, will call for about 6,000 truckloads of sand to be hauled down Corkscrew Road as the flow path will be used to get to the beaches. The concern we have is for the safety of our residents attempting to leave their communities in the morning or any time during the day to get into the Corkscrew Road. We would ask that you find an alternate path for those trucks, and I believe Alico Road is an alternate that could be used to be able to reduce the amount of truck traffic that currently uses Corkscrew and then help the safety of our residents. I appreciate the opportunity to make these comments.
Thank you, Mr. King. Appreciate it. And Mayor Beatos.
Thank you, Mr. King. Mr. King is a member of our community, and going along with the regional cooperation that we've been talking about today, this came to our attention at our council meeting on Wednesday, and yesterday I became aware of correspondence between Collier County staff and Lee County staff indicating that a plan has been put into place that will alleviate the traffic on Corkscrew Road west of Alico Road, and that all the traffic is going to be funneled onto Alico Road and then onto I-75. I have some letters that I'm preparing right now that I'll send to the Collier County commissioners and to our Lee County commissioners. Number one, thanking them for continuing the work that started a few years ago. I do have a few suggestions that might be added to the plan, and hopefully that we'll be able to continue our cooperation and the the work can be done and be done in a safe way and not affecting people unnecessarily.
Thank you. Any comments, commissioners? Oh, okay, councilwoman.
I apologize. I'm looking for my notes here from the CAC. I'm a member of the CAC for Cuyahoga County, and I think Alico Road was planned from the very beginning that there would be heavy use of Alico Road. I'm sorry, I can't seem to find my notes right now, but I think that was the plan from the very beginning.
I'm sure it was. Going back 2 years ago, when there was a controversy about this, it wasn't there. But discussions between the two staffs and the two commissions finally got to the point that it would be. I think now that there's an understanding that it'll be used, it's just a matter of coming up with a mechanism to assure that it's used by truckers who are not always in compliance with what we ask them to do.
Understood. Thank you,
sir. Further comments? All right, seeing none. We do have one more. Frank Derringer did ask to speak also. Go ahead, and you have 3 minutes again. This is on items that are not on the agenda, correct?
Maybe a little of both.
You can't finish it.
So maybe it might help them.
That's not really what this time is meant for. It's not meant
okay.
to...
Well, as far as the federal rule goes, that was up, you know, we're discussing, I think, earlier. Part of like what I mentioned earlier, I drove 123 miles to be here. And to me, moving into areas and a further expansion of the zones which committees like yourself work, you know, and these two are fine, as Lee and Collier right next door, it makes sense. Same in Dave Brown and Palm Beach probably. But it seems like the federal government tried to get inside bodies a lot for the last 30 years. I mean, from elected bodies to everything, you know. And I'm tired of it myself. Personally, as a citizen, I've been to all over the country on behalf of the council, working with property rights people. People are going to get crushed by the federal government incrementally, step by step, inch by inch, ruining lives and bragging about it. You know, like Obama's over here mentioned how the government figured they didn't need their land anymore out in Ochoa, the big Cypress area. And these people have a cultural heritage festival coming up. I saw it on the internet the other day. And they're bragging about it like they're worried about wanting to help festival culture. They just destroyed most of the culture up and down 41, which, not to dwell on ROGG, that's the same thing. The wild ambiance of US 41. It's one of the last things to preserve in Florida. You know, there used to be a Cypress Knee Museum up near Lake Okeechobee, the coolest place you ever want to see. FWC in the state of Florida saw that and destroyed that. But anyway, keeping government the closer we can has got to be better. We've tried expanding, but I mean, it's really cumbersome on the public to even know. We found out about this meeting, people concerned about the 6 feet, by accident. Nobody told us. I mean, I love Patty over there, but she could have told me. You know, we know we have a problem on this one a little bit. She's a great lady. Assistant to the max, and that's the same way I am, so I got a lot of respect for that, you know. And same with Joe Bonas. I don't know him too good. We had lunch one day with Jim Coletta. But, I mean, everybody here is good people, and we just got to figure out a resolution or just drop something or whatever.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Derringer. Appreciate your comments.
It's a pleasure being here and working with you.
Great to have you here. Members, if there are no further comments, then I'd like to have a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion.
Motion, second. Approved unanimously. Thank you, folks.
Thank you. You conduct a great meeting.
Thank you very much.
You did a great job.
Thank you. You were like,
my wallet's in.
I spoke on different issues.
I know I got a verbal. Yeah. I had to show somebody.